Blog Talk Radio.
With the problem. At the very same time that America refused to give the Negro any land, through an act of Congress, our government was giving away millions of acres of land in the West and the Midwest, which meant that it was willing to undergird its white peasants from Europe with an economic floor. But not only did they give the land, they built land-grant colleges with government money to teach them how to farm. Not only that, they provided county agents to further their expertise in farming. Not only that, they provided low interest rates in order that they could mechanize their farms. Not only that, today many of these people are receiving millions of dollars in federal subsidies not to farm, and they are the very people telling the black man that he ought to lift himself by his own bootstraps. Now, this is what we are faced with, and this is the reality. Now, when we come to Washington in this campaign, we are coming to get our check.
Runaway. Song from about 2 years ago now. Big tune.
I'll be free.
I'll be free.
Came from God.
Greetings, welcome to the Chef Rob Show. I'm your host, Chef Rob. I had a couple of issues. Sister, is that you?
This is me. Hello.
Good. Right. I was thinking about that healing stuff.
You were thinking about what?
About healing.
Okay.
So, you know, I think there's room for us to heal, but I'm caught with what motto and how you should structure the healing process. What should you deal with first?
Wow. You know, I want to look back at that. If you remember last night, I put up some information in the chat.
Yeah.
About the steps. Yeah. And they had some good points that were could definitely be applied to this issue. I think one of the first ones, though, and I'll have to look it up, but, you know, we have to, and this is a hard thing, but first we all have to kind of be on the same page to admit that there is a problem, and we have to admit what the problem is.
So
we can't.
The problem is that folks just crazy and lazy. Now let's deal with a diagnosis, some kind of solution for that, some cure for that.
Well, but see, that's the thing, though, because, you know, you're going to have so many people that say they're not whatever. You know, they're not they're not lazy. You know what I mean? So I think the first part, though, is, and that's the thing, like you said, effective. What would be effective way to handle it? And that itself is a big task when you talk about the community, you know, because, man, you got to cover so much ground in just one way.
What's the approach, you know? So you sit down, we design some kind of way to go ahead and deal with this issue.
I think probably the best, huh?
I said, did that help?
Yeah, I think that probably the best approach that we could do that will probably, hopefully, be effective and not be a huge issue is, again, if we make it about the kids, you know, because I think most people can at least agree on the fact that our children are in trouble. We need help. For our kids. So if we can, you know, for the children in the community, if we could at least rally around that issue, that might give us some type of unity.
Well, some people don't see that's it. They just see these kids are just bad.
Mm-hmm.
And not realizing, hey, these are your kids, so they bad. You know, the kids fucked up. You fucked up.
Right. And that's like in my video, the latest one I did about black women, and I was saying, and somebody sent me a comment about this, which I thought was really nice, but I said, if the mother is sick, how can we expect the children to be well? And, you know, if you think about that, I mean, that's so very true because, you know, if you got a whole bunch of dysfunction with the mama, you know, it's harder. It's harder to try to have a kid, you know, that comes out and they got it all together. I mean, it just really is not likely.
Yeah, some mamas are a little dysfunctional.
Yes.
Just a tad.
Yeah.
A little bit.
Just a tad, huh?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. Just a little bit.
Yeah. Yeah, well, you know, hey, she a little touch. She's a little bit more than touch, goddammit. Your ass is fucking crazy.
But you know what? I think, like, for our community, like, I think we should, I guess, try to start on a small level. I don't know. I guess wherever we are individually, if we can get our community, get together with some other people who have a state of mind and begin to try to at least mobilize them to acknowledge something about the kids. You know, let's try to get some more programs for them. Let's try to get them some help and
what kind
you
of
know,
other people
because,
what kind of other people are you going to be trying to work with?
Well, like organizations that might already be in existence or like fraternity, and this is another thing I want to talk about just in how we're doing this, but like black sororities and fraternities, I don't see them, and you know, this is not a diss on anyone personally, but I myself, okay, this is me, so somebody else might see it, but I don't see them doing a whole lot in the community.
Mm-mm.
You know, for them to be so many black people who are hopefully upwardly mobile, who are educated black people, to see, you know, I would think that these are the exact people that we need, excuse me, that may have a better understanding on a certain level, or they may have a more of an ability, be it financially or even, you know, socially, whatever, economically, to actually come into the communities and set up more programs. They have a basis because they're already going to have a certain number of members and people that are involved, so you already have a team built in. And, you know, but where is the presence in the community?
I don't really see them either.
Now,
I think about it. You
kind of
seen them, but they weren't really on nothing. It was all for show.
No. And see, because that's the thing. When you talk about healing, you know, that can happen on a personal level. But like we were kind of talking about last night, we've got so much going on. We need to get some things that's going to be on a broad spectrum. So when you think about organizations like that, they're all across the country. They're, you know, in every state, practically, I'm sure, and in most big cities, they have chapters. So that in itself, even just, and there's many different ones. There's, what, 9 different, I'll have to count, but it's something like that, 7 perhaps, Black Greek organizations. And for them to be so prevalent, you know, in number, and for their purpose to be so, you know, supposedly such a strong, positive purpose, where is that happening? Because they have the ability to get the word out to thousands of black people at one time.
Well, I kind of think they got to selling out a little bit, you know? And it's all about me and me and me and me and I and me and me.
Right.
Well, I don't really see them doing too much. It's like, oh, that ain't going to do nothing for me. You know what I mean? I don't see them doing too much either, now that I think about it.
Yeah. I'm going to have to find that out because I have an aunt and uncle that are Delta and Omega, and I have, you know, other friends that are in, and I have my next-door neighbor is, the president of her chapter, a graduate chapter, so she has a lot of meetings and things. So I really want to, you know, I really want to find out more about that.
Yeah, they might be dying out. Oh, no. That question got me stumped. I'm trying to figure that one out. See, you used to see them. They used to throw a lot of parties for different events, for different things, come together for a lot of stuff. You used to see them. You don't see them no more.
Yeah.
I guess with each generation, they go ahead and get a little bit more lax in what they're fucking doing.
Right. I mean, yeah, that's, you know, but anyway, if we want to talk about healing, though, but see, that's the thing. Somebody's got to be willing in our community, somebody has to be willing, and I'm sorry to say it like this, but got to be willing to put their neck on the line. You know what I'm saying? We need soldiers. Like, we need people who are like, you know what? I know that there's political thing issues. I know that there's this or that. But we just got too much going on of the wrong thing. So we need somebody in a position, you know, who can actually do that. And I just do not see that happening. So it's like, how much healing can we have when we don't have any type of unity in the healing?
Well, I think that a lot of the conversations have begun. That's a good thing. And there's more of the conversation to get out there. Other people hear it. You know, a lot of people do that ear hustling shit, so
right.
They might go ahead and check that out. But it has to be a campaign or something to go ahead and to put the message out. And that's the
right.
part I don't see. I see too many people going ahead talking about it. It's like a little while ago, some guys put some stuff out about rallies and marches and protests.
Mm-hmm.
You know, kept saying they're worthless. And I said, no, they're not. It's just if they're structured right, they can be effective.
Right.
So
right.
if they're structured to where, you know, there's a purpose, what are we doing? What's the goal?
Mm-hmm.
We're going to do this. If you don't have that, then, you know, it's worthless because we don't really got a lot of people putting the message out.
And that's why I said, you know, we got to have that one common purpose, you know, because, you know, that's why I said the children, because that's something I think anyone can get behind, no matter who they are, hopefully, in our community. Hopefully everybody wants something better for children and the children to come, if we have any. I mean, not to be, you know what I'm saying, but if we have many, and, you know, just considering how a lot of things are going, but, you know, I mean, yeah, we need some people willing to really, really, really put their money where their mouth is. That's another thing. We got to be willing to put our money up.
Yeah, see, you can't do a whole lot of healing when these individuals go in here bleeding the community. They're just sucking it dry like vampires. And I keep saying that, hey, as long as this situation stays like this, these individuals are going to make money. So they ain't coming back to go ahead and heal the community. They would rather go ahead and see it all in turmoil and chaos. They profit off
right.
of it. You know, it does a whole lot for them, push them up a couple levels. You know, oh, he came from this area, such and such. Yeah, but he was a neighborhood punk, so, you know, fuck him. You know, shit.
Right.
So, you know, it's a whole lot of things on that that we need to go ahead and deal with. But it's that kind of approach. We got to go ahead and look at the individuals who came from the area and who ain't doing shit.
Right.
And it's always best to go ahead and pay attention to one who's going ahead talking the loudest. Go in the opposite direction.
Yeah. I mean, you know, I think everybody wants, not everybody, but so many people want fame now. They want to be, you know, known. They want to be seen. But if you look at it, when it comes to doing that for a noble purpose, nobody raises their hand to be seen for that. People don't want to really be a part of, I'm not going to say people don't want to, but a lot of people, or a good number of people, I'll say, don't want to be a part of something noble, because that means you have a responsibility to the outcome. See, when you can just get famous or get known or whatever for something that's frivolous, you know, there's no real responsibility that comes with it. But if we're talking about healing the community, we're talking about taking real steps, that's a responsibility. Like, that's real responsibility.
You can't get a lot of people irresponsible. That's crazy. Not a lot of people want to be responsible. They want to go ahead and be as reckless as possible.
Right, right.
That seems to make more sense. You know, that's how a lot of these cats wind up in jail and stuff. Going to be reckless, but
yeah,
it's just a ploy.
Let me do something real quick. Let me play something real quick because I kind of got a distraction.
Okay.
White powder dilute them brains. Ooh, and I see people getting hooked every day on crack and cocaine. Lord. Well, I ain't got some sense in me in my backyard. And before the informers go track yard, I send a message to the Sarge just to let him know. Before they make him know, I've got a stock and sense in me, yeah, grooming in my backyard. Oh, words I have spoken, and that me a promote. Keep ram bam bam bam, like the man we deal with crack and food. Words I have spoken, and that me a promote. Sense in me, yeah. Hey, I stand beside and see the crack boat sinking. Many know the outcome and still because of it change. Constant using of cocaine and heroin, living life without a meaning. Mr. Farmer Man, till this island planted, killing off the nation, get the youth they want it. Can't get addicted and you could never abuse it. Coke and crack, me I beg you just refuse it. As a rude man has spoken, and that me a promote. Me have the bondy sense in me, yeah. Constantly each day them legalizing gay and locking up the youth sense in me, yeah. What them a portray, me sight them from full play. And who let in the adjunct bandy see, yeah. I need to mash up the youth them head, and it's a run the old place red, hey. Meditation, well, and we did my birth sacrifice. I have to give thanks and praise. If man a smoke, oh Lord, you see, hey, we burn the snatcher and the coal. Smoker, oh Lord, in the 15 ounce of white powder. On the crack and cocaine every day. Well, I and I got some sentimentia in my backyard. And before the informers go jackyard, I send a message to the Sarge just to let him know. Before they make him know, I've got the stock of sentimentia booming in my backyard. Hey,
greetings and welcome back to the Chef Rob Show. I'm your host, Chef Rob. And tonight, I was kind of thinking about healing and what should be used for effective dialogue in this healing process. B.A., you online?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Chef Rob, how you doing tonight, brother?
I'm all right. How are you, bro?
Oh, I'm doing good. I'm doing good, bro. I'm all right. I'm all right. Yeah, I was able to catch one of your shows, man, in the archives. I think it was maybe your most recent one. You're talking about talking about dialogue, basically, about relationships. And I heard some of your guests on the show, and they were talking about, you know, some issues that you never hear talked about in the black community. You can't turn on, you know, radio terrestrial radio on cable and hear some real issues that are confronting us. Like when you talked about child molestation in the black community, right? That don't get it, okay? But you were specific. You talked about how child molestation occurs when the boyfriend creep in and start playing with the little girls.
That was the sister.
Somebody
want to
talk about that?
The sister, she was talking about that monthly. She's
on
the line.
Yeah, yeah, on your and I because that happened with my in-laws. And you know, you can't handle that. Let me tell you something. The shit that niggas do out here, you can't have no dialogue with that.
I don't think you can either. I was just thinking about that. How can you heal that in this uphill battle?
Chef,
that I don't think we're gonna win.
No, Chef, the things that I've seen, niggas don't own up to that. I've seen molestations of 6, 7, 8 year old girls. Now I haven't seen it, but I've been involved in that situation where the social workers, who ain't worth a damn, by the way, show up to the scene and go to the mama and say, okay, what's it going to be, your boyfriend or your daughter? And you're like, damn, they gave her a choice? And they hear the mama say, I can't leave my man. What? Yeah. That goes on in the black community where the mothers give up their little girls in order to keep their man. Because the molestation is all about keeping the man happy. Okay? I mean, people don't want to talk about that. That's ugly, man. Here in D.C., a couple weeks ago, there was a little pretty, I want to say she was 8 or 9 years old. They ain't found her body yet. She went missing from a shelter, from a homeless shelter. She was in a homeless shelter for 3 years, they said.
Mm.
And the word is that the mama sold the little girl to a janitor. And the janitor was a pedophile who committed suicide, you know? In order to come clean and talk about what he's doing, he killed himself. And now they're trying to find a little girl. They ain't found her body. People don't want to have those conversations. And then now they try to figure out who failed the girl. Man, come on. Come on. We selling girls like that every single day. Every single day. And you can't, like I said, man, it's some real thumbed down, rotten people in the community. And you cannot have no dialogue with them. What you do is get you a license, carry and conceal license, and keep them away from you. You can't have no, so that aspect of our community, and I'm telling you, they're out there. And there's some sick women out there, too, that allow these things to go down. And we walk around, it's what they call them, the highest level of sex offenders, right amongst us, in your family. You don't even know it. They're in your family. Top high level, high tier sex offenders.
Right.
And we walk around like ain't nothing happening. They walk among us, and people are like, ain't nothing happening, you know? And when you call them on it, they want to fight you, meaning not the pedophile, but his defenders, her defenders.
Mm-hmm.
They want to buff with you. When you inquire, well, how y'all let this go down? They're going to tell you to stay out of their business. So, but I'm telling you, it's some foolishness. It's some hurt, some pain. Going on that we don't really, you know, we won't talk about. And we talk about one other issue, domestic violence, man, right?
Yeah.
That's a mother, man. Domestic, let me tell you something how that works. You got women out here who will falsely accuse someone of domestic violence, all right, to try to get ahead on issues dealing with custody, dealing with, you know, taking care of the home or whatever. They'll say, oh, he beating on me. My husband beating on me or my boyfriend beating on me.
Mm-hmm.
And they'll go, and there are organizations around here, out here, that will provide support on a false claim of domestic violence. There's a lot of these groups out here. But when the woman is really getting her ass whooped, really, really, really getting her ass whooped, mm-mm, ain't nobody out there. Don't nobody make a sound. Don't nobody say nothing. Don't nobody do nothing.
Mm-mm.
You know, it's business as usual. But on a false claim of domestic violence, please, the police at the house, like I said, these nonprofits out here working the angle, restraining orders flying out the door. But when you bring up, no, that there's some abuse, here it is. Here's evidence of it. Mm-mm. Don't nobody want to hear about it. Don't nobody want to talk about it. And that's because we are dependent upon a system to ensure our safety that's not set up to do that. Thank you. Thank you. I appreciate it.
I was just going to say something about what he was just saying about the molestation and about it being about pleasing the man to keep the man around. And I was just looking up something on that, and they were saying that a big issue with it is that a lot of women are jealous. They're jealous of their daughters. So because they feel like she took my husband, she took my man, type of thing. So in turn, sometimes they will let the abuse continue as a punishment to the daughter for, you know, actually, as they say, quote unquote, taking my man being more attracted to my daughter. So even though they know that he's, you know, he's molesting, he's abusing this girl, she will let it continue because she's like, okay, well, she's being punished by it. So that, I mean, that's really sick. It's very sick.
That's what I'm talking about. Yeah, it's sick. What you just, I agree, it's sick. I'm talking about pre-pubescent girls who not even reach pre-puberty.
Right.
You know, what the hell? And when you see social services coming in there giving the mother a choice, are you kidding me? You got to get that child out of there and start arresting people. And I'm telling you, man, most pedophiles, most child molestation cases and rapes, man, they don't go nowhere near the trial. Don't nobody ever get arrested. Don't nobody even talk to the police. You know, that's happens is the girl, the little girl, realizes that, damn, what's been going on with me is not normal. And they go to school and they tell somebody. And hopefully that person listens to them. Most of the time, the person don't even listen to them. They don't even get involved. They try to find somebody they can trust and say, damn, this is what's happening to me. Now, with my in-law, she had a host of aunts, a grandmother, cousins, and I'm telling you, nobody give a damn about the girl. She went to school. She told the teacher. And like I said, when social services got involved, nobody was arrested. They took custody away from the mother because she gave her up. She wanted her man. And they wound up giving the girl to the grandmother. Now, why would you do that? They gave the girl to the grandmother, and ain't nothing changed. Because they was always living with the grandmama anyway. And the mother was registered as a high-level sex offender. But that don't stop no show nowhere. Okay, what type of dialogue are you going to have? I'm sorry, Chef, go ahead.
Where was this at?
Say this again.
What city was this in?
Detroit.
Hmm.
Yeah, and like I said, The school did get involved, but when social services got the, I mean, they did not. And you know, nobody stepped to the dude, man. Nobody.
Mm-hmm.
I went to the grandmother and I said, why is he coming around your house? They told me to stay out of it. In fact, they didn't believe the girl, you know. I said, man, I got to get the hell of, you know, it's that type of situation that go on, you know. It's a lot of sick, and I think the key ingredient, what's common here is our inability to control that sex urge, that sex drive.
Absolutely.
You know, sex, we don't, black folk, we not, I'm not going to say, I'm not, it's not only black, I'm not trying to make no racial issue.
Right.
But that sex urge, sister, chef, we don't handle that very well.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. We go crazy over some sex, man.
Yes, we do.
I'm talking about men and women. Not,
oh, yeah.
Hey, man.
No. Black women mm-hmm. have definitely caught up, if not surpassed, on the whole sexual, hypersexual type of thing.
Yeah, and it's ugly. It's ugly, ugly, and it's dangerous.
Yes,
you know, and it's quietly, it's all over. It's all up in the church.
Yeah.
Men sleep other men's wives, vice versa, and it's ugly. You get it in the mosque. It's all over. It's like, what? We are not controlling that sex urge very well, you know.
We're not.
And you get into that family. And the kids don't matter.
They don't care about you.
This man got 4 or 5 kids depending upon him. The woman don't
mm-hmm.
care, and vice versa. The man don't care. This woman got 3 or 4 kids under 12 or whatever. It's that urge, that sex urge. You know, and our family life is so messed up where man and woman not having sex with each other. Husband and wife not having sex. They get sex on the outside, you know,
yes.
But they're not leaving each other.
But see, that's the thing. That's the thing. Like you said, we don't handle sex well in the black community. We don't handle our urges and those type of feelings or lust or whatever. We don't handle that well. And I think it's probably several reasons why. But the reality of it is that is really killing us. I mean, it's killing us in many different ways. And the fact is that when you are dealing with somebody who, this is not, like I said this last night, I think, but these are not his kids. So he does not feel that same sense of care or concern or even, you know, a certain reference, like, okay, these are not my, these are my kids. That's how he may feel if it was his kids. I'm not going to touch my kids or anything like that. But when it's not your kids, even more to an extent, there's no connection there. So you don't look at them as the way you would look at your own. You look at them
mm-hmm.
as this, okay, well, this
yeah.
is something I want to do, or I want to try with this little girl, or she's trying to come home to me. You know, they can find any reason.
Hello.
We got you, Mike. You on? Did you let the sister speak? Go on ahead, Mike. I mean, go on ahead, Renee.
I didn't know I was on with my bad. I'm sorry.
They would say anything, you know, to make it right. Oh, she came on to me. Oh, she likes it. Oh, she did this or that. You know, that's why I say nobody will ever love you like your own. But at the same time, people that's your own can do the same thing. But see, that's the thing, though. When we're having all these pre-made families and you just switching out partners and fathers and mothers and just switching all around. I got kids with her over there, but I'm taking care of her kids. You know,
right.
all of this kind of stuff. There's no connection. Nobody has any connection anymore. So that
right.
you don't feel really responsible for these kids, and if you want to do something, hey, they might go on and do it.
Go ahead, Mike. You got something to say, bro? Mike?
question.
All right, everybody's line is open. Well, almost everybody. Brother Bukan, you there?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Hotep, you who, brother?
Hotep, who? How you feeling?
Beautiful, beautiful. How's the family, everybody that's online or on the radio, I should say?
Okay.
Beautiful. Definitely, definitely.
Wonderful, beautiful, amazing.
Before I say anything today, Sister Renee, I just sent you your email, so whenever you get a chance, check your email.
Okay.
Okay, who is that?
Who'll be calling?
All right, let me try to.
Somebody's right, trying to come.
Go ahead.
I'm just listening to the sister, just listening, man, and really listening to that last part. Of course, I'm I don't have the means to be trying to take care of another sister, but coming from an African perspective, and I've listened to this dialogue with many brothers from Dr. Umar Abdullah Johnson and many others from an African perspective in relations to the single black women, single sisters that's out here, our African sisters that's out here, and the inability oftentimes to take care of the family, their family, their children, with no man in the house. Sometimes what comes up on the table a lot, and a lot of sisters may disagree with this particular stance, but, you know, there's brothers here in Chicago, brothers in New York, brothers many different places that do take on more than one wife. And from the perspective of taking
you said the,
on...
I'm sorry, you said the brothers where?
Say that again, sister.
I'm sorry, you said the brothers where take on more than one wife?
No, I was saying you have brothers in Chicago, you have brothers in New York, many different places that does it, and not from a lustful position. And I want to set that aspect clear first, because you do have brothers who would try that, and they try it from a lustful position. They try it because they want to be, quote-unquote, players and not necessarily helpers to our development of society. So there's a distinction between the realness of this particular situation and the just all-out lustfulness and what one may call playerism or, you know, distinction. But, you know, when you have a society like we have, and especially dealing with our people, when you're dealing with single black women, the question that one would put on the table is, if a brother did have the means and he could not only take care of the sister he's with and the family he has, but he could take care of another sister, he could take care of that of her children, would you rather see that happen, or would you rather see her go into prostitution, sell her body and her soul in order to provide a roof over her head and feed her children, if the means is available? Now, as African people, we have to really, really think African sometimes. We have to really think, and even if one may want to say, oh, that's not African, well, let's use one may say logical sense or just the logistics of the thing. There's many single black women, and oftentimes there are sisters who do what they do who may not be in confirmation to anything like that. But how many sisters do we know who will say, hell no, I never shared nobody like that, but that same sister who will say she'll never have a man to marry and she be one wife and he'll have another wife, the same sister that say that turn around and be that same sister who will turn around and sleep with a married man because she knows she needs the help. She knows, you know, well, if I just go out with him and do whatever, maybe he can help me pay some of these bills. Maybe he can help. But instead of having her think that way,
and again selling herself and again degrading herself, why not have her say, you know what, I need help, you know, and instead of me doing that, this man came to me, he's saying, hey, I'll take care of you, because this is the proper format. You know, this is
right.
How historically it was properly done, because there was no, you know, we didn't have that in our society. You know, if there was no men around, then the men would take care of them women and children. That woman and them children became his children and his wife.
Mm-hmm.
We didn't leave them out like that. Now, again, people may say, oh, man, you know, I disagree, but, again, we have to go back. We have to go back to Western thought, Western philosophy, Western psychology,
right.
And the destruction of our minds in where that Western thought, philosophy, and psychology plays on us. Do we think African? Do we think God-like? Do we think with the supreme minds that we have, or are we saying we want freedom, we want sovereignty, we want liberation, but yet we still have European mindsets? We still have European psychological devastation going on mentally.
You know what? I'm going to be completely honest.
Let me say this real quick. Hold on. There's one thing that, brother, I can go ahead and agree with you, but it's two things. A couple of things popped out, and then two are real good points that I really want to get out. One, you can't take everybody into your house because they might be crazy as fuck.
Right.
And,
no, that's true.
And then the next thing, you know, hey, look, she going to go ahead and sleep with this man because blah, 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 blah. But there's some women I kind of feel already in kind of like a pseudo polygamous relationship when they got kids by like 5 or 6 different men. It's kind of crazy.
And again, that's where you see the destruction. We have all these sisters, well, not I say all, but you have a lot of sisters who, just like you just said, Brother Rob, this sister got 4 children, 5 children, 3 different baby daddies. She ain't married to none one of them, and she raising them on their own. They nowhere to be found. You see that a lot. I mean, a lot. She's struggling. She needs help. But we turn around and we be the same men who sit back and say, we need to raise a nation. We need to raise our nation. We need to unite our people. We need to have a unified front to save our people and have a nation. But if you're talking about building a nation, the most important aspect to your nation building is the women and children. The women, because she produces the children to help produce your nation, and the children, because they fulfill the legacy, they carry on the legacy of what you built. So she's the key. She's the sacred. And then the children are also the key. They're the sacredness. But we can't leave them out. Yes, there's some people you can't bring in house because, again, look where we at. We in Babylon. We in the belly of the beast. So, yeah, you know, you don't want that cutthroat-ass sister in your crib, you know, and she's single because, you know, hell, it's probably the reason why she's singing. You know, it's probably the reason why she's singing. She's probably cutting folks up. You know, but again, we're dealing with Western thought, Western psychosis, Western mind frames of us as a people and how we operate here. But once we get conscious and once we see that, okay, we have to start building our African family, even if you don't marry that sister or that sister don't marry, there's still an obligation that her and them children are taken care of.
Okay. Let me
you had it on the nose right there. I totally agree with you 100% right there. And see, when we talk about the 70% of all women unwed, you know, we still have to talk about the relationship problem between a man and a woman. They're really no different than people, well, in some cases, they get divorced over half of the marriages. People like me who, you know, thought I had everything straight, got a divorce. So we still have to talk about the men and women relationship. And despite, like you said, sir, despite if the men or the men are in the house or not. If you know that that's your child, you're supposed to take care of the child. There are many reasons. There are many variables why a man may not be in that house. It's just not, I mean, if you listen to the rhetoric, they never talk about all the variables, why that woman and that man are not together and why that man is not in the house.
Right.
And that's the way the discussion needs, because we need to cover all things. And I don't think we need to separate the conversation, telling men how to be men. I think when we're talking about relationships, men and women need to talk to each other, and the discussion needs to be together.
Hold on, man.
Is no secret how women should, you know, go in their rooms and there's no secret of how to be in a woman or a man. We should both know how to treat each other and have that dialogue together. That's what
I really think that you should go ahead and put the individuals in, you know, in the room with successful relationships with the unsuccessful relationships. So these individuals with the unsuccessful relationships, most of them should go ahead and get the message. You might get some screw ups with the successful. Go ahead and listen to the nonsense. But I think it'd be a lot more positive to go ahead and do something like that.
How do you define a successful relationship?
Huh?
How do you define a successful relationship? I mean, most people have not been with one woman and stayed with one woman for the rest of their life. We've all been through, been through.
You got to be doing something right if you're still with the same person for a minute. Okay. Well, yes.
I've heard it, but we don't talk about it. I heard a black couple in the restaurant about a month ago, and I told this story. A couple was sitting next to the restaurant and asked the black couple how long they've been married. They said 53 years. The woman said never stop communicating and compromise.
Exactly.
That's the two words she said, and that's the two words, and we don't talk about that. People don't know how to compromise in a relationship. They don't even know the meaning of that. I didn't know the meaning of compromise until a couple of years ago. I didn't always think the way I thought. That's why my ass is divorced. I've been raised up on some crazy-ass shit in my head.
And we still hear
a lot around there. We got some crazy-ass logic, man.
Right.
Let me ask this. Let me say something here.
The whole polygamy tip, you know, what you got, what women under one roof that you taking care of and all that stuff. Okay, that's, I'm not talking about that. What consenting adults do is what they do. All right, I don't approve of that for my daughter. I tell you that in a minute. But if that's what a woman want to do, women want to do, have one man in the house and all that, fine, go have it. But there's another aspect. I'm gonna tell you something.
But he made it clear that it wasn't all about sex.
I'm fine with that. They don't even have to be
under the same roof. If he could provide for her, and say if she say, you know, that's fine, I'll do that, but I choose not to be under the same roof, and he could provide to say, okay, well, I'll get you this apartment over here, and I'm going to take care. However the means work out. It works out. Now, if people don't want to do it, don't do it. You know what I'm saying?
But I got it from the terms of the
development and the saving process of sisters negating themselves as opposed to saying, well, I'll try this before I do this.
Okay. If you in that relationship and the dude got you an apartment, okay, shame on you, but go right ahead. But let me say this about relationships, okay? It ain't about the children. Rarely is it about the kids. Ain't nobody coming in there saying, I'm going to take care of your children. That's rare, okay? And I'm telling you, what my experience, the truth of the matter is, you got women and men who are married. They don't know how to end the marriage in a friendly, peaceful, civilized manner. You got the man stepping out, cheating on the wife. Then the wife said, oh, well, hell, I can go cheat on him too. So you got two married people cheating on each other, all right? And more than likely, they're probably cheating on each other with another married group, okay? Things happen. The woman gets pregnant by another dude. You think the married dude she having an affair with going to stick around and take care of that baby? Hell no. He out of there. You got a man who is being taken care of by his woman. Married to her for 20, 25 years, whatever it is. She make the money. She pay the bills. But she ain't, you know, her libido done dropped. She ain't into having sex like that. Well, he ain't doing it. His libido up. So he go. It ain't about no kids. He meet a straight chick who just want a man. And he ain't taking care of her not one bit. All right? And he ain't leaving his wife. Because the woman he went ain't got nothing. And it ain't about the kids. It's just about, you know, getting your rocks off. That's what it's about.
And the majority
of these relationships in our community, that's what it's about. It ain't about no damn kids. Anybody trying to look up. The kids get in the damn way. Tell Junior to take his ass to bed. Go get a babysitter. And hang out. And unfortunately, sometimes I said, things happen. She come up pregnant. She come up with a disease. He come up with a, you know, we're not handling the relationship properly. I can tell you that. Thank you. I listen.
Now, my response to that, I totally agree, because what you're talking about, brother, is current situations. You're talking about present realities. However, when you have quote-unquote conscious people who are talking about healing processes, when you have people who are talking about how do we begin a new process, that means we have to come out of the way of which you're talking and reform our mind into the way of which we were talking about prior to your present reality. See, this is where the healing process, yes, some guys ain't, you're absolutely right. They ain't thinking about the children. But while they're not thinking about the children now, as Brother Rob's topic, healing. So the topic is, how do we move from not thinking about the children to thinking about the children and putting the proper function and foundation of family together? Now we start talking about how do we get her to not do that, and maybe she'll try this, and if not, we are obligated to do this. You see, we're talking past, future, tense here. We're talking the past, the present, and the future. Right now, your specific topic, which is why I said I 100% agree with you, because you're dealing with present tense. You're dealing with the realities of today. But the realities of today, we have to critique them. We have to analyze them. We have to then shed away that which is negative and begin the healing process, which is the topic of the show, begin the healing process and move from the negative of what we see presently and how do we develop it productively. And that's what my particular stance is when I put that on the table. I'm coming from the healing perspective and different options that we could use to help the sisters, help the children, and form our mind into helping the child. And in helping the child, that means helping the sister. And you're coming from the mind perspective of the BS that's going on today. So both of us are right. We're dealing in different situations. We're dealing in different views. So this is the healing process, I'm saying. But I absolutely agree with you, brother. But now we move from that. How do we move from that? We have to heal. Where does the healing begin? Like you said, they don't think about the children. They don't give a damn about the children. All they want is such and such. That's where the healing begins now. Now we find a way to educate or to build something that's going to get their thought process into thinking about the children and developing from there, and move them away from the negation of the children, and just keep them into its proper place. So we're basically agreeing. We're just looking at two different scenes. You're looking at the present reality, and I'm just looking at the healing perspective of it, dear brother.
Yes, who's that? Somebody else want to speak? is 708-443. Your line is open. Okay. Mike, you have something to say?
Let me. Yes, Chef, this is B.A.
Go ahead, B.A.
Yeah, I was just my, again, I take it back to some of my own experiences. You know, when I was a youngster coming up, you know, I didn't have a father at home, single mother. I'll be honest with you, man. I wish one of the dudes my mother was dating pulled up on me and said, I'm going to be your father, I'm going to look at it. I mean, you know, as a youngster, I didn't need that. I don't want no man that I don't know who here with my mother want to try and be a dad to me. That's just my thinking. I don't need that. If you're here for my mother, take care of my mother. You know, don't pull up on me talking about you going to take care of me. Because I look at that as game, man. I'm thinking what we think young people need or what the children need ain't necessarily what they need, ain't necessarily what they want. Okay? They probably want somebody who, you know, when a mother turn 60, 65, going to be there, going to be taken care of, okay? Going to be genuine with it, you know, got something for it, got a pension or something, a 401K. Because I'm going to tell you, it's a lot of women in their 50s, 60s, you know, trying to get in at McDonald's, you know, on the corner, giving $10 blowjobs. It's real. You know, we don't, from my vantage, we don't, when you form a relationship with a woman, you got nothing to do for a kid. The kid's going to be all right. But come to the table genuine. Come straight up. It's men out here who got, you know, behind $20,000, $25,000 in child support. They got kids. They don't come here and take care of another woman's kids. I mean, you know, I just think we need to be more honest, more genuine, you know, be more mature. Be men and women about situations, and don't let our sexual urges control us. Because when I've been sick, that's what it's all about. When the sex stops coming in, the real dudes show up. The real woman show up. Okay? And it ain't ugly. I mean, it's not pretty. It's ugly. And we talk about healing. For me, my process of healing is keep my ass away from you. I don't want nothing to do with you. I got an aunt, and this is some years ago. She told me that one of my uncles came over her house with his side piece, and my aunt threw both their asses out of her house. And she didn't like the in-law, okay? But she understood it's trouble. It's some shit here. Y'all better get the hell out of bottom house. I never understood to years later how right she was for throwing his ass about the house here in his side piece. You know, family is something else, man. Family is sacred, man. And when we step out and we take another man or woman's family away from or try to hurt or diminish that, please. Man, ain't no healing from that. This is my advantage. The only thing I can do is to get your ass up away from me. I don't have nothing to do with you. I ain't talking to you. I ain't bumping with you. Just get away from me. And I'm
so. You really think that's the way to solve the problem is going ahead and getting away from it? It's like a pile of shit that's sitting right there, you know. And as it sit out there in the human hot ass sun, it gets maggots and all kinds of other stuff growing up. And then it's, believe it or not, it's spreading because the flies are already growing and they're going to go ahead and land on you. So do you really think they're going to get away from the problem instead of dealing with the problem? I mean, it still affects you. That was really not a way to go ahead and find a viable solution, brother. I don't think so.
Mike, my thing, Brother Rob, and I listened to the brother very attentively, but then I also have to listen to the reality of how we operate as a people. You know, most of us were never conscious of Pan-Africanism, of, you know, any type of movement until we probably heard somebody. Most of us, some of us grew up on listening to Brother El Hajj Malik Shabazz, Brother Malcolm X, peace be upon him. Some of us may have listened to Brother Huey Dim and Fred Hampton Sr. coming up. Some of us might have listened to the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. Some of us listened to Dr. Khalid Muhammad and others. the list goes on and on and on. Now, in saying that, these guys and sisters, you know, Asada Shakur, many who came into our lives by way of lectures, by way of showing us an example, they didn't come into our life to say, I'm going to be your father. But they came into our lives with the example of how to be a man, how to stand up and be courageous, walk like a man, and not bow your head down, but stand up, walk proud, and demand or ask for what you want. Don't hold your tongue. And then the sisters, Harriet Tubman, Asada Shakur, you know, we got so much examples of sisters and brothers that none of them said they wanted to be our fathers or our mothers, but what they left with us were the examples of mothers, the examples of women, the examples of fathers. I'm not saying change their mind, change the mind of the brother to want to take care of the child in the way that he's going to grow up and say, yeah, I'm going to be your father, because you can never substitute, regardless of that man being there or not, you can never substitute, you know, you being a biological father. That's not going to happen. But what you can do is be the example. For example, I have two goddaughters, and unfortunately, the father of both these, because they share the same father, is not in their life at all. Since the time they were born, never was in their life at all. One is 5 now, and the other one is 2. You can count on your hand, and I would say 3 times that he's seen them. Don't send nothing, don't do nothing, don't whatever. But they're my God daughters, so my responsibility is to show them the example of how a man is to treat them as little girls. I'm not saying, well, since your daddy's not here, I'm your father. No. But what I can do is show you the example of a man. Now, what most children are going to do is do what? They end up calling you, hey, Dad, hey, Dad. You might not ask for that, but your actions become synonymous to the very nature of what they're missing, and they end up calling you Dad or Father or Pops or whatever it is that they call you. So we as men, it is our responsibility with our communities that when we see our children who are misguided, for us not to sit back, but to move forward and try to help them, try to develop them, try to produce them into that which is better for them and for the community as a whole, because everything we do is not for individual gratification, it's for community gratification and the value and benefit of the community. And so I'm not saying go and take care, you know, as many children as you go get, go and take care of them, because you can take care of them on many levels. Many levels you can take care of children. And the best level of taking care of any child is the example of men. We've all grown that way, again, in a conscious community. Who we admire. Some people, you have organizations who, oh, man, we know we continue the legacy of Dr. Khalid Muhammad, or we continue the legacy of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, or we continue the legacy of Dr. Huey P. Newton. That means what? That you look at these figures as fathers of that particular subject matter. They are your fathers, just like people say, well, that's my spiritual father. So-and-so is my spiritual father. You're giving him, and you are giving him the recognition, and you are appreciating him so much so that he's giving you an example on that particular subject that you've now said that he is my spiritual father. Or when we read in something, we'll say, oh, well, you know, man, have you ever read Dr. Yusuf Ben Yakinen? Man, he's the father of such and such. Have you ever read Sister So-and-so? Man, she's the mother of such and such. So we talk like this every day because why? we recognize that they may not be your father per se or your mother per se, but they're giving you examples of real men and real women, and you put that on them to say, he's the father of this, he's the father of that, she's the mother of this, the mother of that, and that's just like us. When we came up yesterday, we talked about that yesterday, Brother Rob. Most of us, when we came up, we had about 50 uncles, four grandmothers, you know, four fathers, you know. They were not real uncles, biologically. They were not real grandmothers, biologically. And even to this day, we say, what? That's my cousin. That's my sister. That's my cousin. They might not be your real cousin or your real sister, but they're giving you examples of love in the defining moment of a cousin, the defining moment of a sister, the defining moment of a brother. I love her like a sister. She's like my sister. I love him like my brother. He's like the brother I've never had. I love her like a mother because my mother wasn't there for me, and she's been around since I was a little girl, and I call her my mother. Examples is what create these amongst us as black people, and we've always been that type of people. We've always looked at each other as something on those defining terms, always. So today, we have to move in that same direction. I met Sister yesterday, Sister Renee, over this radio. But I'm sure the more we get in tune, just like you, Brother Rob, the more when we first met, we got in tune. What do we say later on down the road, Brother? Anything ever happened to you, Brother, you make sure you call me, man. I'm your brother. We family, Brother. We say that all the time. We are family. If anything happens, phone line is open 24/7. Because we family. And that's how we operate. We family. There's no such thing as, you know, well, this is my family. So we have to begin to move and operate like that. Then and only then can we as an African people really unite and come together when we start defining our reality, not by Western thought, not off Western mentality, but by the nature of who and what we are in essence, and put that to the table and begin to manifest that. So again, I agree with my brother, and I agree with him because he's speaking from present reality. But now, Brother Rob says, we must address the healing process. So we have to move from the present reality into the healing process.
And check this out. Let me say this. And you dealing with that healing, you know, certain groups have different ways of healing. You know, so and I mean by certain groups, different warring factions, people who are going at one time hell bent on killing each other. Mm-hmm. So, which method should we use? Because we got factions within our midst that are hell bent on killing each other. You know, because like our local gangbangers, we got a lot of people who's hell bent on killing each other. You know, they got no regard for another black life. It just don't mean shit to them.
Look at our organizations we have out here today, and I mean really think about it. And anybody chime in. Look at all the organizations we have. We've always said at our events, we said that you can go and listen to any organization, whether it be the Nation of Islam, whether it be the All African People's Democratic Yahoo movement, whether it be some socialist organization, whether it be the Moorish Science Temple of America, whether it be the Rastafarians, whoever. Each and every one of us could go to any of these organizations, sit down. Mind you, we might not agree to everything that may be said in there, but we will agree to some aspect of what everybody has to say. I'm going to go to a Rastafarian event, I'm going to agree to something. I'm going to go to a Nation of Islam event, I'm going to agree to something. I'm going to go to the Moorish Science Temple of America event, I'm going to agree to something. So now, how do we move forward? Take that aspect out of each organization that we agree to. Put that on the table. Sit representatives down from all of these organizations that's moving and moving forward for us as a people. Because we listen to all of them. Man, I'm going to listen to so-and-so. Man, Dr. Umar coming in. Man, let's go hear him out. Man, so-and-so coming in. Man, I'm going to go listen to this organization. For example, the Nation of Islam, people may disagree with them, but the one thing people will say, them brothers are disciplined. Man, them brothers, man, they got some hellified discipline. People will go to the Moore Science Temple of America. You might not agree with them, but one thing you can say is, damn, them brothers know the law. They know the law. Damn. Okay, now we got two organizations. One can teach our people discipline. The other can teach our people law. Because the nation don't deal with law. They don't deal with that. They deal with other aspects. The Moors, they deal with the law. Take the discipline from the nation. Take the law from the Moors. Take the African history studies from the All-African People Revolutionary Party. You see, every organization has something to offer. Where we get lost at is the ego of we feel like we may be negating what we are a part of. Man, you know, well, we already got this in our organization, but you don't have everything. You might have that, but you don't have everything. And see, that's one thing we don't do as a people. We have tried everything, Brother Rob. We've tried everything.
What is everything?
The one thing we have not tried was literally challenge each body to sit at the table and put those aspects that we agree to and begin to manifest those aspects in a governing body. Work it amongst each other, and then we lay it out to the people to try it. We have not done that. We all bounce, you know, man, I'm going to go over here, man, because I need the discipline. Instead of going to boot camp, I'm going to head on over here. Now, I really want to learn the law, man, so I'm going to go check out what these brothers over here talking about. Now, you know, I think I need to learn African history, man. I'm going to go over here and learn some African history over here. All of us have been, I'm pretty sure, you asked Sister Renee, you asked Mike, I think it's Mike, right, brother? You asked Mike, you asked anybody on this line, how many events have you been to in your life? All of us will sit back and be like, man, hundreds. And at those events, what have you heard? Not too much different. Pretty much, they all talking about the same thing. One event might add one extra thing, but pretty much you hearing the same lecture at all of these events.
Yeah, that kind of ticks me off. That kind of bores out of me. I don't really want to keep hearing the same old shit.
Remember when here in Chicago, Brother Rob, they had the NCOBRA meeting. NCOBRA came here. All types of people came here from out of town. You had Chairman O'Malley, Yeshitela here from the All-African People, not All-African People Revolutionary Party. Yeah. Chairman O'Malley, Yeshitela, African Socialist Party, African People Socialist Party. You had a representative from the Nation of Islam. You had Dr. Conrad Worrell, which, you know, people got their feelings about him. You had all these different cats from different organizations who are known in the communities. I posed a question because everybody up there on that panel, all these leaders, was talking about we need to unite as a people. We need to unite. We need to unite. We heard that so many times that, again, different lectures, different events. I posed the question to the leaders on the panel. I said, I understand we need to unite. I don't doubt that anybody in this audience knows that we as the African people need to unite. We know that. My question is, have you all on the panel came together to put a structure together amongst yourselves in which you check with each other? You have your biweekly meetings. You have your, have you put a Department of Information together amongst yourselves? Have you put a Department of Public Affairs together amongst yourselves? Have you put together the unity amongst yourselves before you ask the people to put the unity amongst them? And only one person responded. and that was Chairman O'Malley Yesitella. He said, we have not. And that is our fault, and that is why our people have not got together yet, because we have not got together. And I told that question because I wanted it to be a serious question, because, yes, we need to unite, but those who get up in the forefront and say they are the vanguard or say they are the quote-unquote leadership, if you ain't came together to produce nothing amongst yourselves, how in the hell are you going to ask the people to come together and produce something?
Exactly. Exactly. Everybody's mic is open. So any questions, any comments? Crickets.
Yeah. I wanted to say something. I used to, the more I've been, like, researching and finding out about different things, sometimes I'm kind of like, okay, because you have the New Black Panther Party, you have, like you said, the Lawrence Science Temple, you have so many different groups, you know, and the Nation of Islam. There's so many. And it's like, okay, I'm very confused by it sometimes, you know. Mm. But I understand that each organization has its own, you know, certain things that they go by, and, you know, be it religious or be it, you know, whatever their motto is or whatever. But, you know, for the purposes of, I would think everybody's purpose is to help the Black community, to strengthen us, to get us on our feet, to get us, we are very sick right now, to try to get us back in health. So I think everybody probably has that same idea. And I just wonder how we can get all these organizations to work a little bit more collectively, because I feel like we can have a bigger impact if there's unity amongst the groups as well.
Exactly. But they have not been challenged to do
right.
That. Now,
it's something else. You know, it's an urgency isn't there with a lot of people. And how do you get them to recognize that they're, you know, some people, a lot of people know it's a problem, but how do you get them to come to the table to talk about the problem?
Exactly. You have to challenge them. Now, look at YouTube. How many of us get disgusted at, okay, there's Sarah Sunseti versus Ali Muhammad. Ali Muhammad versus Wesley Muhammad. Wesley Muhammad versus so on. All these debates that take place on YouTube between our brothers. Now,
yeah.
One time have I seen Sarah Sunseti versus the European scholar on anthropology. Now, one time have I seen our brothers debate the oppressor, prove the oppressor wrong amongst our people, because that's where the mental comes from, what we talked about yesterday, what the sister raised up yesterday when the sister said they'd rather listen to Europeans before they listen to her, and she'd be coming with the fact. But because she's Sister Renee and she's not Dan Janowski, PhD, ain't not trying to hear Sister Renee. So where's those debates? Instead of wasting time debating with each other, why don't we have them against European scholars?
Yeah, that needs to be pushed a little bit more.
Right.
Yeah, they need to be challenged.
To do that. And that's what we have not done as a people. We have not done as even the quote-unquote conscious community or those of us who have been blessed with wisdom. We have not challenged ourselves to put those things together.
Well, I did. I talked to that cracker and used it for Quan when I talked to that cracker and invited that old white boy, that white nationalist, and I was too from my NPC.
Yes,
so I think we do need much more of that, because that's really.
I was there too.
Yeah, you was there too,
yes,
right,
sir.
Right, you was there too, Jeff. Right, Chef. I keep saying Jeff. Excuse me, bro. Yeah, you. It's Jeff and Chef. Yeah, you was there too. So that's what needs to happen, though, man. You're right. We need to deal with them crackers, man.
Exactly. And
that's
a perfect
example
for Brother Dawah. Brother Dawah knocked out two things in one. And one day, Brother Dawa took care of two things that are important. One, he had a white supremacist on his TV show. He didn't have Sarah up there debating with Sarah. He had a white supremacist, and he proved the white supremacist wrong in his historical accounts. Not only did he do that, he took on a Nightline, what was the brother's name? The Uncle Tom brother?
Byron something.
What is his name? Damn
it. It was Byron something.
Byron.
Yeah, Byron Pitts. Byron Pitts, right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right.
Brother Dawa had that brother on. He's sitting there asking Brother Dawa questions, but why was that important? This is Nightline. This is a national TV show that's seen by millions. So not only did he prove the white supremacist wrong in his historical accounts, he proved that brother some Nightline, and he proved Nightline, and he proved the watchers who agreed to Nightline, because that's propaganda. That's their media. And he proved them wrong. So we need more of that. We have to start debating them, because they are the ones who twisted our minds. The sister said she's confused.
Right.
At first she was confused by the oppressor. Now she's confused by us, but what we do to confuse ourselves comes from the oppressor. So hit it at the root of the problem. We're not going to solve the problem by trying to clean up the fruit. We have to solve the problems from getting to the tree. And the tree, in this instance, is those Europeans who do what they do, and we have to start knocking them out like Brother Dawa did when he knocked that white supremacist out and proved him wrong historically, and then wiped out Nightline and proved them wrong as well.
Yeah, man, I wanted to find it because I was trying to look for it because I know they got like archived somewhere. I want to put that up on my page because that was a real interesting thing that what that white boy was saying, man. I was sitting there being like, this dude's on some bullshit. He just keeps lying and lying and it was you. I know he's. Brother Fakan, you remember I was there. I was getting frustrated.
Yeah, brother, we had to move you to the side because we thought brother Rob was gonna hop up there in this. You know,
that dude was making me mad. I'm like, what the fuck is he talking about? I'm like, man. And eventually, I said, you know what? It's gonna be best I leave because I ain't gonna be able to stick around with this shit. Because when he walked by me, I was like, I should slap the shit out of him.
Now, see, what's interesting, Brother Dawa, correct me if I'm wrong, but see, Nightline comes on Channel 7, right?
Yeah, ABC
Nightline.
Channel
7, ABC. But wasn't the white girl that was there, wasn't she part of CBS?
No, ABC.
She was ABC.
She gave me a card.
Okay.
Forgot about her.
Okay.
The thing is, what they did with that is they put it on TV like at like 12 or 1 o'clock at night. They chopped it up. He did exactly what he said he wasn't going to do. What y'all asked him, when y'all grew up, he did the exact same thing. He tried to pick me as the racist.
Exactly.
The way he played it was when he came on, it was like, my brother Dawa Israel said kill the cracker. Dawa Israel said this by cracker. But look who's on his show.
Yeah,
that's
man.
Like that's like and then after they put it up there, they took it down. Now, so when you go to the video to watch the actual video and see the footage, when it comes to my part, it's black.
Right.
They cut it off. They just cut it off completely because what I was saying they could not handle. They can't deal with that. They can't handle me. I'm not gonna let them because I know that's the enemy.
Exactly.
It ain't my brother. It ain't my sister. It's him.
And we need more of that. We have to stop debating each other and strategize with each other, critique with each other. If we're gonna debate them. That was a perfect example. If you want to debate them and prove them wrong, so our people can trust us in giving them facts.
Right.
Our people don't even trust each other, and it could get facts.
What happened, the reason why I got the interview was because I did a radio show, a blog talk show on the Chad Factor with three white nationalists, and I shut all three of them down. And after that, that's when I got the call to to from this other white boy, the one that was on the show. So, and matter of fact, actually, he asked me through Facebook when I put together a bigger panel. He wants me to do it. These crackers are coming to me because they want me to put together a panel so a bunch of us can sit down with a bunch of them and strategize. But you know how crackers are. They're finicky and flaky. The only reason why I wanted them on was to prove that they own some bullshit. That's it. But getting them to tell the truth is difficult, but you got to get them on TV so you can make their ass learn. See, the next time I do it, it's going to be much harsher than that. I'm just going to go for the jugular vein next time.
Exactly.
Yeah, that's, wow. So when the next time, Brother Zoe, when is your show? Talk about your show for a minute, because I wanted to talk to you online for a couple of times.
Well, the next show is this Saturday, and the thing is, I don't get a chance to do as many shows as I want to because I don't have a crew down there that works just for me at KNTP. It's kind of political down there, you know. I got a crew, a three-person crew with one sister and a brother and a little Hispanic guy, Jose, and I have to pay all of them every time I do a show. And, you know, my bread ain't cut to pay them every week. So, and plus, I'm the only person that's calling in to get a show. If I had five or six other people that was on KNTV's register and they got registered down there with KNTV, I get more shows because I have more people calling in. They'd be a better chance to get a show. Some of these people have, like Munir Muhammad. You see Munir all the time. And Munir, he got about 15 people on his team. So they all called in and that they let Munir do all the teaching and talking or whatever. So that's the way he got it set up. So since I only have one person, I just get a chance one show a month. If that. But, you know, I take that 1 hour, brothers and sisters, whoever else is listening, brothers and sisters out there, and I try to get a white man as much help as I possibly can. I take it and flip the whole thing on. That's what you got to do. When they give you these arenas, you don't go in there buck dance. You go in there and you do what the fuck you do. You don't kiss their ass. I don't kiss no cracker's ass. I talk about their ass on TV, and I make the cracker tape it. I make the cracker play it. They hate my guts, but they love it, man. These crackers love that shit. When I come in and they face is fired up, but they be glued to the TV. They can't turn it off.
Yeah.
Let me tell you something, brother. I've learned that media being on television, that's how they have manipulated the world through their media, man, through their TV.
Exactly.
So when we get on their TV, on their stage, man, and we just touch straight call them bitches, like this week, this coming weekend, brother, I'm going to do something I ain't never seen on TV, live TV. I've never seen a libation where we raise the energy of Nat Turner and Denmark Beasley. I'm talking revolutionary, nothing but Khalid Muhammad. That's what I plan on doing this weekend. The title of this show coming up is going to be The Rise of the Black Messiah. You can't stop this shit. You can't stop it. And I'm going to show different brothers from different organizations, different cities, we all coming together. And this is what I'm posing this weekend on this show. From now on, because I know words are powerful, and words make and shape lives and change things. Look, bro, words give you information, and information puts you in formation. So I'm going to say this. When we greet each other, I'm going to say peace to the Black Messiah, peace, Black Messiah, peace, Black Messiah, peace, Black Messiah. And we start saying that to every black man we see, goddamn it, I guarantee you'll be some change. If the sisters start saying that to the brothers they see, peace, Black Messiah, because this is the thing that the cracker wants to stop. He put together a whole program, bro, to stop the rise of the Black Messiah, but turn around and told us it was a cracker Messiah, a Jew Messiah. What the fuck? If it's a Jew Messiah, how the hell is he going to set up a whole government program to stop the rise of one Black Messiah? And what we fail to realize, I don't care what organization you're in, if you're black, you're one of the ones that could possibly be that Black Messiah. So every single one of us Negroes, no matter what financial scale we on, we still threats. Whether we buck dancing or whether we out here straight going ready to kill a cracker and tell him to his face, it don't matter. Every last one of you is a threat, or us is a threat, when they set up a whole government program to stop the rise of one Black Messiah. But they got to cover every base now. When think about this. Think about how massive of a government program you have to stop the rise of a Black Messiah, and you have no idea which black mother and father is going to bring that so-called one Black Messiah up. Think about the programs you got to, just think about all the surveillance you got to do, all the prison. When you look at that premise right there, you see the reason why black men are locked up, why they turn into fans, because that's what they're trying to stop. Still, the program may stop. They still trying to stop the rise of the one black messiah. But the thing is, we as a nation are the black messiah. That's what they fucked up on. And that's what I'm posting this weekend, the rise of the black messiah. It's here. You can't stop this shit. I'm telling crackers, fuck you right on TV. I'm gonna have my sword on TV. I got a sword I'm carrying. I don't give a fuck. That's just the way it is. It's all about fucking war. That's what time it is, and that's where I'm at. And if you want to get down with that, let's get down. Because, I mean, if we got to fight in the motherfucking studio, then that's what it's going to be. I am at the point now I'm ready to give my life up if I got to walk. If I got to crawl on my knees like a bitch, I'm ready to leave here. I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to live in a land of fags and homos. Lesbians and cool boom ass niggas. I ain't gonna do it. Not me. I have to go off the grid and live fine. But I tell you what, I'm gonna fight while I'm here on this planet to be a man. I was born with testicles and a penis. I know where the fuck it go. I know what to do with it. It works. Works well. I know how to use it. You ain't finna make me stick it in no man's booty. And no man's finna stick nothing to me. And that's what they want. So it's all I want, man. That's what it is.
Yeah, there you go. Brother Tywad, how you feeling, brother? Let them know how you feel. Shit.
Yeah, fuck, ain't no use to hide. Then they got a surrender table. What you going to hide today? Where you going to hide it at?
Where you going to hide it at?
These crackers are creepy. Look, I'll tell you what you do. Google this. Google, it's something called, I think it's Google Glasses. Yeah. I think it's Google Glasses. Google that. They got some glasses right now, fam, with their cracker technology. They mad scientists, Frankenstein technology. That they can use these glasses and they can see everything. They ain't gotta get on the computer no more. The glasses are the computer. When you put the glasses on, they're like $2,500 a pop or something like that. You put the glasses on, you see everything. You can see all of people's houses, you can see everything, fam. This thing is you will be a walking surveillance camera yourself with these glasses. Now that to me with all the surveillance the white man has, he has already shown us he's defeated. Because don't no real brother that ain't worried about nobody walk around looking over his shoulder all the damn time. When your karma ain't bad, you ain't got to look over your shoulder. This cracker got cameras everywhere, all up in your house, little red light on your TV. He's controlling your cable box. I was watching on one show, they controlled this black lady's cable box. Man, check this out. These crackers went on this old lady's, black lady's cable box. They got into her cable box and was telling her, I see your daughter. I see you sitting on the couch right now. They told her, I'm going to rape your 9-year-old daughter, granddaughter.
Wow.
This is what these crackers are doing, man. This is all I want. That's why I look at these cats debating. Man, look, I'm going to slash that to pieces when I get back to this show. That debating shit need to kill. We need to kill it. And every nigga that wants to do this debating shit, I don't care who you are. If all you want to do is debate, you don't want to go out here and debate these crackers and deal with these crackers, you worthless at this point. We don't have time now. I don't care who you are. Who toes I step on, I don't even give a damn. It's all out. It's all about us at this day and hour. That's it. Period.
Well, see, the problem is, and just like, you know, with computers, with all these laptops, they have the camera on there. And you cannot find one without the camera on it. And so they can watch you through your laptop, you know, you have it up. You might not have the camera on, but it doesn't matter. It's on there. But the thing is, we are so ill-prepared for any of this. I mean, there's so many black people who don't even give a damn. You try to tell them about what's happening with technology. And I don't know. It's not. I don't care about that. They don't care. They don't care. And that's the problem. And it's like nobody wants to hear about that. They just want to turn up. As they say, turn up, you know, they worried about what new song is out, whose concert, you know, that type of thing.
You're right. You know, and to piggyback off that, I got some books, Brother Faquan and Brother Chef Rob, that I'm going to show y'all that we're not even supposed to have when you get certain things. I got this book called, it's a foraging book. It teaches you how to identify food in the forest. Go out there, you have to live off the grid. I also got a book called Living Off the Grid. Check this out. I ordered this stuff in the mail.
Now, I got this book from my uncle. He ain't supposed to have it. We ain't supposed to have it, but I got it. I called the number and I saw all that stuff. Like, tell me why the police show up at my mother's house. Goddamn police show up at my mother's house looking for me. Tell me, give my mother a card. Tell me to call him. He on the line his cell phone number. So, of course, I called him up. I'm like, what you want? He didn't answer the phone. He didn't call me back. I left a message. This is what they're doing. They want to intimidate. I'm not fucking intimidated. I'm not being a bitch. It just ain't in me. Bitch ain't in my DNA. Man is my DNA. I'm Zulu, Mandingo. That's what it is. So, and I know that. I trace my lineage through my uncle. He let me know I'm Zulu and Mandingo. So I don't have no bitch blood in me. So that's just what
You know something? I hear this with all these black folks. And this, you know, since I've been doing these videos or whatever, I hear this all the time. They tell me, when I try to tell them some information, we're all people. We're the human race. Why are y'all always talking about black and white? It doesn't matter. We're all one. And I'm like, when I hear that, it just makes me want to cry. I'm like, what? What are you saying? Like, what are you saying right now? We're all the human race. While we're talking about, so I mean.
Hold on a minute. Yeah. Hold on. I'm going to let you continue, but. When I hear that same shit, it makes my skin crawl, too. And we got too many people out here speaking at the top that's saying that nonsense and want to go ahead. And the thing I was trying to go ahead and get to was everybody want to talk about everybody else's rights but black rights. And
yes,
when you hear what when you hear that same stuff that what you were just saying, those are the ones talking that, oh, we need to love each other and all that shit, but they want to talk about what's going on with them.
This guy had approached me about being on his show, and he was talking to me, and he was saying, you know, when I was talking to him, he seemed a little bit, you know, stick in the mud kind of. I don't know how to really say it, but I was like, okay. I thought he was like a Carlton Banks type of person from The Fresh Prince. So I was like, and he was telling me, you know, I saw your videos and it just really shocked me and blah, blah, blah. And I thought he was gay at first. And I was like, But he might be, I don't know. But anyway, he was like, I would really, really want you to be on my show and would you please be on my show? But we need to end on a positive note. We need to make it a positive. We need to make it positive. And I'm like, this is not positive. I mean, this is reality. I don't know what you mean by trying to make it positive. This is real. And nothing I could say about this issue will be a positive because there's nothing positive about it. And he was like, could we just try to get the message across to more people and just say this is happening out there? No. I can't be on there. I cannot participate in that because that's not what I'm talking about. That's what that's your show and that's the direction you want to go in. That's wonderful. But I'm not going to sit there and try to make it cute. And we should all get along.
Why was he trying to recruit you?
Exactly. If you know what I'm about, you heard what I had to say. And he's telling me, I was raised around black nationalists and blah, 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 blah. But if a white girl came and said, I'm going to, what do you say? If she came and said, I want to help you with everything you're doing, then, hey, I'm going to let her help me or something, he was saying. And I was like, what? And he was like, I want you to know I understand you. I'm with the black people. I'm like, uh-huh. But, you know, that's the thing. If you heard what I had to say, then you know there's nothing going to be no positive spin you can put on it. Positive in the sense of black people need to wake up now on that end, but anything else, I can't give you a happy ending.
He's with the black people?
Right, exactly. But you know what? When he talked a little bit more and he told me about all the things he's doing and stuff and he's got all kind of crazy stuff going on. But I was like, okay, I could see his angle, But at the same time, I told him I cannot do your show. I'm not going to tailor that into trying to make it politically correct. I won't do that.
Man, how do you come at them kind of individuals? Man.
Yeah.
He wants to make it positive. You know. What would be the positive outcome for that show?
Right. There is none. I mean, it's either like you're going to get the message you're going to be with it or against it. Huh?
Well, okay, so what kind of suggestions was he giving to make it positive?
He was saying that we could approach it in different ways. He was like, well, you know, did you want to go the aspect of, because he said he had a show talking about gay is the new black, or no, is gay the new black. And he said, so he had people that was like Christian and they were totally against gay people and they were like not having it. Then he had another show or something where gay people were trying to make their point or whatever. And I told him, you know, like, if there's a gay person on there, I'm not going to be, like, politically correct. You know, I'm not a rude person by nature, but I'm going to say my opinion. You know what I mean? And this is how I always tell people, I'm not talking about you personally. It's the act of it, and it's what it has done to our community that I'm upset about. You know, as far as you as a person, whether you're good or bad, I don't know that. But this is the message I'm trying to give about the behavior that's going on with it. So I can't, you know, so he was like, well, what about gender, you know, men, not men versus women, but, you know, black women and black men needing each other. And I was like, look, you know, if you want to have a certain topic, then you need to let me know that. And if it can't line up with what I'm doing, then it can't line up. That's what it is.
You know,
I refuse to water down.
No, don't. But please don't. Please, please, please don't. I can't stand that fake ass shit my damn self. Because I think that's one of the things that, you know, that's another thing that we've been bombarded with, is individuals speaking on our behalf and they watering down the fucking truth and diluting
right.
The facts. So, you know, it's hard to hear when you got individuals supposedly speaking up for you. You know, somebody's always shoving the camera, the microphone in their face and putting a camera in their face and going in and tell them, okay, so what's going on with the black folks?
Let these niggas know what's going on with me. People like Brother Dawa and, you know, the other brothers and what I'm saying, they don't want to hear that. You know, you have somebody like Tony Sotomayor. They want to hear what he has to say because he's saying things against black women and against black people in general. And that's why I particularly can't align with that because you're coming from a position of trying to insult people when I feel like I'm coming from a position of trying to inform people and, hey, we need to do something. You know what I mean? That whole thing of trying to, y'all wear weaves and all that. Like, what is that doing? Like, that's not changing the reality of what's going on in the community. That's all well and good if you want to encourage black women to wear their natural hair or whatever. Fine. But we need to deal with real things, and that's just a distraction.
Too much of a distraction.
Yeah.
And getting worse.
It is. It's getting worse every day. I mean, it's like, maybe it's my awareness that has increased or whatever, but it's like a real fork in the road. You know what I mean? It's like people are either really going this way or that way. There's, like, really no middle ground.
Would there be some middle ground?
Would there?
Yeah.
There's not
think?
Really middle ground, though. You can't have middle ground with this issue, with what's going on now. You really can't have middle ground.
Yeah, one side of the fence or the other.
Yes, pretty much. Because it's to that point. Like, it's that critical.
You know what Brother Dawa said earlier about, and Brother Fukan was also saying, you know, we need to put some heat on these cats, man, to go ahead and tell them to stop debating each other and debate the white boys. Because like I said earlier, when Dawa had that, it was hot.
Yes.
Keep quiet, and I kept up there making a little comments.
That motherfucker was making me mad. That was getting hot.
Yeah, and
needed. And, but
I
wanted
to give
and
him
think
props
them,
on that, too.
Say it again?
Oh, I said I wanted to give him props on that, too. I like that so much because I was like, just what you guys were saying. We're always debating each other. That's just exactly what I'm saying about the Tony Sotomayor. We're always talking about each other and my idea versus your idea, and that's whatever it is. But we need to be going against the opposition.
So these niggas ain't got courage. You know, Brother Dawa, let me tell you about the show I did. Now, I want to go ahead, and I think we need to talk about this a little bit later, see if you can get it on your TV show. You there, brother? Hello?
Yeah, brother, I'm here. I'm just walking, so it's kind of windy out, so I'm kind of needed, but I'm listening. Go ahead.
Okay, because I did a show dealing with some of these so-called individuals dealing in the conscious community want to go ahead and attack us, because I remember that Brian Pitts dude was saying, hey, Lou, you're a veteran of the Gulf War. So you're a vet, right? So my thing is this, is some of them cats go ahead and come at, I'm a vet, so they come at me, go ahead and say how we agents for the white man when these individuals ain't even doing shit but going ahead fighting each other. Going in circles.
Mm-hmm.
Just about each one of these damn movements, when you can go ahead and trace these movements back far years, Civil War, going back, it was usually the black veterans who came back and was teaching their people some shit on how to deal with what stuff that's going on. But today I see some of these conscious motherfuckers getting on my damn nerves with all that old weak shit by going ahead and telling me I'm killing black folks and all this other stuff. Well, one of the questions I tried to give to them is, hey, look, what alternatives were there when I was making that decision to go into the military?
Right.
What were the alternatives? Go ahead and sell drugs? Go ahead and work at McDonald's, Burger King? What were the fucking alternatives? So, you know, you guys all they want to do is debate, but they ain't got no system in place to go ahead and keep me from doing what I've done. So don't criticize me at what I've done. Stay the fuck out my fucking face. And I don't want to go ahead and shit no damn more. Because I'm so sick of that stuff. You ain't got a plan. You ain't got nothing in place. It's people like me that go ahead and help with this kind of shit. People like Brother Dawah, brother like Fukan, who's also a street soldier. If these we go ahead and do shit like this to go ahead, even Brother B.A., he got his own thing. He's dealing with the situation. And you, sister. But we got individuals who want to come at us. We're being veterans and said we're bigger part of the problem. I get sick of them fuckers. I really get sick of them fuckers. And those are the same ones who also hosting these goddamn debates to go mean a goddamn just to go ahead and put money in their pockets and sell some books and DVDs. Hell, I'll pirate your shit immediately. It don't make me no goddamn sense because you put this shit on YouTube and it's easy to snatch. So if you ain't doing something, step to the damn side and leave me the fuck alone and leave people like me alone because we trying to do something. Brother Dawah.
Yes, sir, brother.
How'd you feel about some of these conscious cats talking shit about you because you served in the U.S. military?
Well, they ain't never came to meet with it. I'll shut their ass down real goddamn quick. That's, you know, at that time, first of all, I was 19, you know. And I tell you what, I got a chance to see the crack on a level that some of these cats will never see.
Right.
They took us, man. They took us to, we went to Panama. I ain't never been to Panama in my life. I'll see how this crack could get down, though. Yeah, the shoes, the wind, though. I'm walking, though. But like I said, man, I was in Panama and shit, and they took us on some rest and relaxation, right? So, you know, at 19 years old, I'm like, I ain't never been to Panama, so I want to go. Let's go see what's up, you know. These crackers have been there 4, 5, 6 times. Man, we get to Panama. We get downtown, right? Now, they take us through the city of Panama. We get to this one door, right? It's like we go through the door. All of us walk. It's like 9, 10 of us or whatever that went with the SARS and everything, old cracker. And so we go through this long hallway. We get to the end of the hallway, and it's like 3-story apartment. Now, we couldn't tell from the building on the outside, and all of the floors were like in a 360. Now, some of the doors was open, and there was a light on. Inside the door, you see a mother sewing, crocheting a hat or whatever, knitting or some shit. And then you see a bed to the right, to the left side of the mother who's sitting in her chair. Then you see a young-ass girl, man. Young Panamanian girl, maybe 12, 13, 15. I'm like, what the fuck? What is this shit?
Hmm.
And they're, oh, you like this? I'm like, oh, hell no, I'm out. I got my ass on the bus and went on back. I got a chance to see how dirty this cracker is from being in the military. I got a chance to see some shit that some of these cats ain't gonna never see. Some of these big girls talk about being soldiers in the streets, and they can't even go downtown in goddamn Chicago. How the what the fuck is that about? You live on the south side, I ain't never been downtown. Nigga, I've been downtown. I was in eighth grade. I live in another city.
Well,
you live in the city and can't even go goddamn downtown because that's the code of your military wing or whatever you have, a broken military wing in the hood that have no real progress going when it comes down to liberating all of you other people because they lock your leaders up. So I don't let nobody talk to the military, that old crazy shit about no military. Man, please. I learned shit about a cracker that has helped to shape my thought process and help me be on point. I know how to go out here and set up bombs, booby traps, blow shit up. I know how to get out here and fight if I have to survive in the woods. I know how to set up all that type of shit. I know how to survive. You hear me? I know how to lay out my ass out there 3, 4, 5 hours in the rain and don't say a goddamn word. Lay the hell. Lay your ass there and don't say shit. And you wait for the enemy and you ambush the ass. I know about all that.
Right. What's the movie, The Spook Who Sat by the Door?
Oh, yeah, Brother Sam Greenlee.
Yeah, and you take what you learn from them, and you apply it where you need to apply it. So
yeah, Brother Sam, I go to his house and make him chili all the time, and he's also ex-military. The stuff that he was saying to get him to go ahead and do that book, and then he was, and if you notice, he did the book, he did the movie. He was blacklisted because it was people going ahead and trying to figure out what he did to go ahead and get. Mm-hmm. He was getting a lot of support for that stuff early on. So the FBI sat in, came in, and pretty much shut it down. Then removed a lot of his books and works off the shelf for over 20-something years. When I sat and talked to him, man, and I also did a show with him, did a couple of shows with him. When I sat and talked to him, man, he was telling me all the stuff that he had saw, because early on he was in the Army, and he was doing spy shit, and he was in the Middle East. And I went and looked it up. At the time he said he was there, that was the time that the U.S. was taking down Iran. The first time. Hey, and putting the Shah, that guy, the Shah, whoever he was, putting him in power. And the U.S. had something to do with taking him out of power and putting in the Ayatollah and then these other cats. They had something to do with each one of the shits and the turmoil that's going on in the Middle East for years. For years. And we're not looking at that, paying attention to that. But we learn some stuff when we go ahead and go through all that old stuff. And some of these conscious cats don't seem to want to go ahead and recognize that what we learned, it's going to help your dumb ass. So you're going to go ahead and keep our people ignorant and turn their backs on us and the experience that we have. But what are you teaching them? You ain't teaching them shit. Not a damn thing. Mr. Talk, you on the line. Your line is open. Speak, brother. All right. Yes, sister, you were saying something?
Yeah, I was just going to say, you know, I still have a belief to a certain extent, you know, things happen for a reason, and it's all how you use it. So to say, you know, that because you were in the military, that means you're any less of whatever, that absolutely not, you know. It just means you have more experience with them to draw on for, you know, whatever other purposes you use it for.
We got more experience because it's some of the shit that you see. And then, like, you go into some of these countries and see how the U.S. treat the indigenous people of those lands, man, it's amazing. And then when you see that, you go hear what you think it is the indigenous people, you're like, oh, no, that ain't it. Them ain't the indigenous people. Maybe it's them darker-skinned people who was here first and these lighter-skinned ones going here walking you around and telling you what's going on.
Right.
Giving you that false picture of what the fuck is really happening. It's a whole lot of time that you got to go ahead and question what you see. Go ahead, sister.
There's just so much going on, like on Facebook. You know how they have the little ads on the side. They've got an ad for, basically, I guess, for abortion, but it's saying
unplanned pregnancy, you can find the strength to go forward. Forward with the pregnancy, okay. But still, that you they're going to do the same thing to see if you might want to adopt the baby out or whatever you want to do. And, they have a black woman in the picture. And it's just like, it's just so much aimed at us right now from every angle, like every angle. And I just do not see how people are so blind. Like, I cannot understand it.
Hello?
Yeah.
Oh, I thought you dropped off. You know, here's the understanding. Here's how you go ahead. It's hard to go ahead and get some of these people to go ahead and pay attention to what's out there in their face. The thing is this. We're bombarded by a whole lot of stuff to blind you from the truth. And they're doing a real good job with it. They're coming up with a whole lot of ways to go ahead and keep you blinded from reality and from the truth. Don't see too many people out here really standing up to these knuckleheads and these liars and all these fakes and frauds. So, you know, that's why we got to stay on point, stay on this message. And Brother Dawood, I want to build up a bigger media presence here in Chicago about this message. That's one of the things. And I want to talk to you about some ideas I got to go ahead and see how far we can go ahead. Well, see how much we can do in just a short period of time, because I like to see some stuff rolling by this summer.
That's the main thing, too, is to get an actual, if we could have more media, you know, I mean, man, we could do so much.
That's the key to the problem, because they've been controlling the message for years.
Absolutely.
As long as they control the message, they can control the conversation.
Absolutely.
So the conversation, you go ahead and you watch the message they put out, then the conversation as well. Did you see so-and-so show? Did you see that commercial? Did you go see so-and-so? Nothing
mm-hmm.
about talking
mm-hmm.
about what's really going on with you.
No. I mean, you can notice the difference even just from BET when they've been purchased by Viacom. I mean, not to say BET was doing a whole lot of anything, but at one point they did at least have BET News. They had a little bit more, information. But you can see, like, how it's, I mean, it's nothing. It's nothing now. Nothing coming out.
Brother Foucault?
Yeah, Brother Dawood, his phone hung up, and he's not able to get back in on the line. He just texted me to let me know that, so I text him back to let him know that I'll be telling you all that, so he might not be able to get back online.
No, he won't, so he has to go here. You have to two-way him or something like that.
I can call him.
Well, shit. Lines are
do like a three-way type of thing?
Yeah, you can.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That would work.
If you can, because I want to go ahead and talk to him about some stuff by going ahead and doing that. I got an idea for a TV show, but I want to coincide with what I'm doing and what he's doing. I ain't trying to take over none of his shit. I just want to go here and work with the brother. It's like, again, sitting there in that audience with that damn Peckerwood, I was pissed off. And it's a lot more stuff need to be said. So I think we can do it in a certain format to go ahead and get that message out, because we're not getting that message out. We got people that's going ahead and thinking that bullshit is reality. I keep saying it. We ain't got nobody going here really speaking on our behalf. It's a little too messed up for us.
Jeff Rob, that's the problem. You never look for a leader. That's the problem. That's why we haven't been, that's why we stagnated. Someone's looking for a symbol or image to speak out for the black community. Come on, please. It's not like that. We need to keep on talking and dialoguing, having conversations in our communities. What we need to is when we do get together, can we communicate? Are we going to start cussing each other out, shooting, fighting each other, dialogue? What? Do we always have to go to a church to have our community meetings or to a mosque? Can we come together in a public forum?
See, right now in my city, if you go to a town hall meeting or a city hall meeting about taxes in the city, guess what? In our city, they have a law that we can, when we address the politicians that's up at the board, the city council, and the mayor, that we cannot ask them questions. We can just only state our issues, and they cannot dialogue back with us. This is a corrupt city that I live in, one of them. There's a lot of things that's going on. So they are even trying to stop us dialoguing and having a conversation with them. Because people are scared and they know we have issues. They have their plot, but if you talk to them and converse with them, prove their contradictions and says, hold up, you said this one day and you said this, what's going on? They don't want to do that. You know, they don't want to dialogue. So
let me ask you something. So the individuals who come to the city council, or come to the city and tell them what they want as far as getting zoning laws changed, they come as a group. So black people are really not coming as a group because they don't have that economic power. These economic powers come there and get what they want. That's one reason I constantly push we need to go ahead and build our own infrastructure, but we need to go ahead and have it centered around some industry. We need our own industry, something that we can go ahead, we can control, go ahead and local economies know that we're keeping them afloat. But we need to have our own stuff. So you don't have a financial base there. That's why they don't want you to go ahead and do that, because they know they ain't gonna listen to shit you say. That's why you can't ask them no questions. But
well,
if you came there, you go ahead, you made some comments, and you part of the Asian group that's there, the Greeks or something like that. Well, yeah, they gonna listen to you. You don't think so, Mike?
Well, see, the whole philosophy of our community is screwed. See, I was always challenged, a lot of things I was raised on, I don't want my kids to think of that. See, a lot of people believe in the voting system, and they believe, and then they don't believe in the voting system. See, now you have our kids screwed up. Then you say, well, you go to school, and they're not teaching us about yourself, and then you wonder why they don't want to go to the school that you're telling them that they're not teaching about their history. See, as a group of society, as a community, we are so tossed up that theoretically, psychologically, in this country, it's still crazy. People saying it got better, not saying that the people, we're still trying to figure each other out.
Let me ask you a question, Mike. I mean, do you go ahead and agree with African history? Do you pay attention to it as a person, you, yourself?
Yes, I do. Yes, I do, but I admit, as a whole, us as a black community, we've been saying this for years, but as a community as a whole, we haven't changed our curriculum in our schools. As you can clearly see, they have charter schools, so things are coming around, so you can push forward that. You have to go to college now to take African-American history studies.
So let me, okay.
Why do you do that? So the
Mike, you're a mirror like me, right? Like,
yeah, I'm in BMO.
Okay.
Well, you know, Toronto BMO. Yeah, DMV.
Yeah, let me say this. There is a major disconnect between black folk, say, in the state of Maryland, who may elect a black governor pretty soon, got a black mayor in Baltimore, majority black council in Baltimore. There's a major disconnect between the black elected official and the common black person walking the street in the state of Maryland. Amazing. I don't even know why we got to fight and argue and huff and puff for shit. It don't make sense to me.
Yes.
You know, your best and your brightest don't know what you need. What have they been studying for the last 20, 30 years?
And they I'm with you on the
I've been to enough of them. I know you got 3 minutes to give your comment, and if you don't sit down in 3 minutes, they stick the police on you.
That's crazy. That's not a democracy. That's crazy.
Yeah,
the problem is it's no action. They don't want a dialogue. You get your degrees, you have your etiquette, but you don't want to answer questions from the community. That's what we elect you for. But see, we have to say, hold up, we have to have some power, because they're getting in there somewhere. We have to wake up. See, we actually have the power. The mindset for all the people is them mothers that's on that, they represent us. We are the boss. They're not the leaders. We're the leaders.
Give me
that last say. That has to be the mindset.
But they're trying to shut us out. They think they're smarter. They don't want to go with the common folk. The common folk has a political issue because we are, I mean, we make up the government. We have points. We have ideas. They're trying to shut us out. Here in Maryland, they will take your house for a water bill in Baltimore City for a water bill.
They'd take your house one of those sneaky, what do you call those liens in Baltimore nobody knows anything about, and you move in your house, and somebody come out the woodwork, say they had a lien on your house dating back to the 1800s.
Right,
they
yeah,
try to enforce
yeah.
those to take your home. I can't remember what they call them, but, yeah, it's a lot of chicanery that goes on in our own community. And for the life of me, I just don't know the role, the purpose of a black politician. I really don't. I don't know why we talking in 2014 about African American or African history being taught to in our schools. Nobody there but us. I don't know why it's a big struggle.
Well, no,
okay?
They're trying to start American history from the Civil War now. You know that, right? Some school districts want to start American history from the Civil War. They don't even want to talk about the slavery and all that, the trade.
Well, it's not new. They don't do it now.
Exactly, but at least they talk about before the Civil War. They trying to get the forefathers out. No, they don't want to talk about the forefathers. Look bad if you look at it, if you examine it.
So the purpose is to keep young people dumb, ignorant, blind to the knowledge of the present day and time, the knowledge of the history, the knowledge of themselves, to keep them the way they are, to keep them programmed, headed for destruction, keep them in these streets.
Right.
You know, like you said, I heard Chef Rob say something. You don't want to work for the white man, but you go to his jail. Don't make much sense to me.
No,
right,
no,
right.
You know, I constantly hear that.
Mm-hmm.
When I had that debate with a young man, he was criticizing me for being a veteran. And this fool had just got out of 4 years. And I was saying, hey, I said, shit, you still eligible to go in the military? You ever thought about it? I forgot how we got on the conversation, but I just threw it out there. He was like, hell no, I ain't going to go and fight no white man's immediately. You rather go sit and rot in a white man's. I just don't understand. You know, I don't understand why you would do that kind of shit. You know, and that's
right.
The mindset a lot of us got.
And that's in our community, and then that's why we need to challenge that, because that concept, I've heard it. Come on now. I've heard that for many, 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 many years in my environment. And that concept needs to be challenged, because a lot of concepts that we have in the hood and in the cities that people are soaking up, and we're just not questioning. Because what do you mean you're working for the white man? I mean, you have to pay your tax. Well, I mean, what do you mean? If you start your own business, you always work for your customers. Your customers can be black or white. I mean, what are you talking about? So we need to challenge these concepts that's out here, man, because people are feeding this shit in them, not saying that, like I said, some of the concepts I had in my head. So I know what the fuck I'm talking about. I know what I'm talking about. People are sucking the concepts and breathe it in and live it out. We don't challenge them.
I think even in our own community, we don't have a problem with engaging dialogue with gay, lesbian, transgender, with Hispanics on immigration, with unions on minimum wage increase and whatnot. Those things are part of the job. We don't have a problem with that. But when it comes time to engage on issues, real issues, man, that's going to move us forward, man, not none of this crap that black politicians, white, don't nobody want to even come close.
Let me ask you, what would be, if I said, hey, look, you got time, we're going to try and deal with it. We're going to deal with like 5 issues. What issue would you go ahead and put in that 5 category we need to tackle first?
Well, my number one issue is true, real, substantive economic development. Meaning, I ain't talking about no unemployment. I ain't talking about no jobs. I'm talking about businesses where you hire people. Okay? I'm talking about banks with substantial amount of capital where you can loan money out the way other people get money. All right? So you can grow and build your business, and you have your business be capitalized. And you have to worry about meeting your payroll. Okay? I'm talking about that my number one would be showing something that's real, that's tangible. You know, putting together billion-dollar projects that are employing people, that is right in the hood, right in the community. People can't see. Like you say, downtown Chicago is the magnificent mile and all that. Man, I'm telling you, downtown Chicago, I was amazed how beautiful it was.
Well, we have good, because we're in good real estate. Even though we may have us in these areas, I mean, they did have us in good real estate for us close to downtown areas and houses, if we look at it, as far as location and things of that nature. But I want to ask you real quick before we go, how did you define a flat business, BA? How did you find that? Because I think that is one of the things that we need to define. There's a lot of confusion there.
Okay. How would you define a Korean business? All right, everybody, we ain't got no. Let me hear me out.
Okay,
Mike.
Good.
Wait. We ain't got no problem with that. We know Samsung is a Korean business. We're gonna get that TV. Okay. We know Toshiba, Toyota, are Japanese business. We ain't got no confusion there, right? So, black business, same thing. All right. Black people run it. Black people own it. When you go buy that car. And those profits come back, they go to strengthen Korea, South Korea, Japan, Poland, Finland, wherever. Same thing. The profits come back, and they go to strengthen our community.
Right.
See,
hold up. This is what the confusion BAY acts. Some people in our community saying when they visualize their vision as a business, you know you have to have a vision, they visualize a black product selling only to black people. I say, no. That business, I agree with you. You said it right on the money. You can have that. You can target your market. I'm not saying that. But you can have a product sold around the world, right? And those profits are to direct them into our communities, our SKUs. They use that money for empowerment and leverage. That's what a black business does, profit-wise. Now, are all of your employees going to be have to be all black? No, it does not. But you know factually, a white conservative would say that black people need to employ each other. So, yes, it may be majority black or what have you, and a small sustain. But you cannot have the mindset. That's why some things I would think we're stagnate. We're stagnant because people don't know where to go. When we say, oh, black dude, what does that mean? And you'd be surprised, and when you ask these people these questions, how lost we are. Because I was really confused until I started thinking about, like, hold up, you're not going to put me into a box. So some of these things need to be redefined in how you go about it, I think. I mean, just overall, broadly.
I get you, Mike. I'm with you 1,000%. My opinion, for example, we mentioned a black church. For me, that's a misnomer. You can't be no black church and all your offerings and your tithes going to a white bank. They ain't no black church. You see, everything that is meaningful to the growth of what you're doing has to be in the hands of black people, and it has to circulate from one black hand to another black hand. If it ain't circulating, there ain't no currency. It's not creating anything. It's a vacuum. It's being sucked out. My whole thing to me is it's not rocket science. When you bring these things up, the gays understand this, man. You go to Washington D.C., DuPont Circle, that's the gay capital of the District of Columbia. Gays run it. Okay.
And they make money.
Absolutely.
I can't say about that community. That's one thing I can say about it. They strong. They professional. They make their money. And they spend a lot of money, too. That's what they got.
And when they move in.
I'm being real, though. That's not jack. I'm just being real, bro. You got to be real about it.
And when And when they and when the gays move into a community, they create what you call regentrification, meaning not just one gay move in, but the whole hundreds of them move in, and they increase the price of real estate. They increase the property taxes, which drives a lot of
white
other
folks
people
to do that shit.
Hold on.
But
you know,
we need to get money out of our community, too. Some of the money we need to get money. I know we need to make our money circulate with each other, but some money we need to get out of our community.
The only point that I'm simply making here is that the black community, that where we live, has to be a place where people want to come and shop, want to come and have a good time, want to come and vacation, want to come and retire, want to come and do all the things that we do outside of our community that will make our community grow. If we ain't, I mean, come on. Why is it that when you want to get you a good pair of shoes, you're going to Georgetown? Okay? You're going to, you know, outside of your community. No, things have got to go, have got to circulate, have got to grow in our own spots. And in addition to that, other people have to come to our spot and give us their money. That's what you call diversity. That's what you call working together.
Like I keep saying, we need to circle, rally around a certain industry. And a lot of people want to go ahead and throw the hair care industry in there, and I think that's good. But we need to also have focus on other areas. So what area would you want to focus in on?
Entertainment. Number one. Entertainment is sort of a service. It's not a product based. It's just a talent based industry. Okay, you can play the flute. You can play the trumpet. Let's get a nightclub going. Let's get a chain of nightclubs in one particular area, and this is where you go for entertainment. Let's go rap music, whatever it is, the industry. You got publishing behind rap. You got concert venues behind rap. You got endorsement deals behind rap. You got that should be black or owned and controlled from the rooter to the tutor, but it's not. All of the black entertainment that you see, particularly in music, is historically and to this present day run by the Jewish community. I don't know why.
Blacks
don't have their own performance right agency, meaning whenever you hear a song on the radio, that radio station should be paying a licensing fee to a black-owned, black-run and controlled performance rights agency. Instead of paying it to BMI and ASCAP, they should be paying it to a black-owned performance rights company that specializes in keeping track and collecting the royalties of black-owned music, black culture.
We had that, though. What time you go off, sir? You gonna pay my money, Mike? You know you owe me money, motherfucker. Oh man, I get you. You know I get you, man. Don't start no stuff. We got another 30 minutes to go.
Okay.
But like I said, we had all that stuff. We had control over all them, a lot of them things, and it was hard for them to go ahead and get into the industry because you had the bigots going ahead and destroying it and tearing it down. But then they started saying, hey, people, you know, some other white folks like this, so let's go ahead and sell it to white folks. We don't have that something like that built up, you know, and we got individuals who are in place, but that's just it. They're individuals. They ain't trying to include a whole lot of people. You got your pilot, your Tyler Perry, who got his studios and stuff, but he on some bullshit.
Right. Well, see, real quick,
I think we should have a combination of that real quick with the technology. I think we should be playing more of the behind-the-scenes role. That's where the money is. That's where the control is, more of a creator.
Hey, so how do you get into that,
that's
Mike?
That's being technology.
How do you get behind the scenes? How do you get into that industry, Mike?
Well, when you're talking about the entertainment industry, right now you have to look at the present time. There's a lot of ways that you can self-promote yourself or get with other people and have a network, but the technology phase, that's where it comes in. I'm starting and having to move more programmers and technology, more web developers and stuff like that, so we can, there's other ways that we can make money. You know, you can have a thriving black business on the internet. Nobody really don't know that it's a quote unquote black business. You know, but because it's, I mean, it's different ways.
Hold on. If it's on the internet, if you're doing business on the internet, you're doing business pretty much worldwide. So you know, you don't have a little small audience. Small customer
exactly.
base.
Exactly.
Have the plan.
I think we should bring out right and be more on the technology side of it. You controlling more of technology businesses.
A lot of us heard that get involved in the technology. I want to go ahead and see us get involved in the technology, but creating the technology to support an industry. Okay, so if you in an entertainment field, how do you go ahead and make enhance the music? A lot of us getting that, and I think somebody kind of mentioned it. You know, that technology is coming out of Japan and some other places, and places in Europe, and even the Pakistanis go ahead and got their own. So we need to go ahead and get more. You talk about technology. We need to go ahead and have it to where you got the rights and the patents and the trademarks on all this other stuff, not by going ahead and using somebody else's shit, because they go ahead and take that shit, throw it in the garbage, and you left behind.
Well, no. Right, trademarks and things of that nature. When you come out with a product, yes, you can copyright a website. See, to me personally, there's ways to make money. Facebook is making money off of other people's pictures and images. That's all. And people just loading down, and you can get the site. He's a billionaire off of other people. So if you don't look at that as a fact, and that's money, you can see how you can develop in that way. When you talk about copyright, yes, you can copyright a website, but when these founders make these hardwares and softwares, if you understand it, you can create your stuff off of that platform, copyright it, and you can sell it around the world. But I'm saying we need to be more into that. And then once we get more technology firm-based and become creators, then we can hook people up. We were able to take a little money to get started, use the talent, since we have the creativity and the technology, go ahead and blow it up. But we need to get into that technology, man.
We're never going to be able to really break into that field, though.
No. That's the wrong attitude. No. Not, I will never.
I mean, not to the certain level. I mean, wait. Just let me say this. Not to that certain level. I mean, I'll put it like this. I hear what you're saying, and we need to definitely get more into technology. But in the sense of, you know, when you look at these companies like Apple and Microsoft, all of that, they are not going to, you know.
What I'm saying. Jeff Raw was talking about other Korean. I believe that we manufacture nothing as black African Americans, factually, and it comes as derived from slavery. I agree with that. When we talk about slavery, but we manufacture nothing. What I'm saying, man, once we get those, our stockholders, our machines from them, we still have to be engineers and developers. I mean, you still have to have a mind. You still have to restructure. When you have a technology business, all your embedded systems, you may have Linux, you may have Microsoft, all of those things embedded, Cisco embedded in your system, but that has a unique product, man. So I understand we're not going to be that, but we still have to learn and get developed. And once we learn, maybe we can take the money and start creating our own products. It is out there. So once we get in, the sky is the limit. We can have more control. That's all I'm saying. We have to be competitive that way. Because now, they're talking about the hair industry. Look how many black people go to white companies for technology. Maybe if we start creating ourselves more and be more established, we can circulate that money too. Websites, games, and all that type of thing. That's it.
My difference is between the defining piece of actually creating your own technology and...
Exactly.
The difference between creating your own technology and enhancing others' technology. And I say that for this. For example, you have many people say we need to create our own black banks. And you also have people who will sit back and say, we need to support the black banks.
so-and-so is a black bank. Such-and-such is a black bank. There's a black bank over here on such-and-such street, such-and-such street. However, if I was to challenge anybody to point out to me one black-owned bank, you couldn't do it for the simple fact, unless you are the creator of the policies that run that bank. I don't care who you get in the CEO position, they can say Seaway is a black bank. However, black people don't run the International Monetary Fund. African people don't run the policies and the mandates of who that bank is supposed to check in with to make sure that they're operating the way that they're supposed to be operating. That's the difference between us creating our own. So when we talk about technology, we need to create our own technology that we govern the policies of that technology. We govern the mandates of that technology. We are the originators or the creators of the paperwork, and whatever's made off that technology from European hands, you know, and that's the end result. No, it goes through us, it stays with us, and that's the difference between one who talks about, for example, of how we talk about finances and how one like our brother who's transcended, Muammar Gaddafi, talked about economics. That was, his talk was a talk of shutting down these situations. Now, yes, we stay in the belly of the beast as far as those of us who are here in America. We consider this the belly of the beast. We don't have our own currency. We don't have our own monetary funds. So when people say the black money circulates such and such, first and foremost, there is no black money. We have their money that circulates in our communities, and we spend $900 billion of their money. Because at the end of the day, if they chose tomorrow to sit back and say, you know what, we're going to give everybody a one-week notice. We're just going to shut this whole thing down. We're going to switch over to such and such. Whatever these people got in the banks, we're just going to send them a telegram, let them know that, you know, have patience, and we'll get you something else to recover. But have patience. They can do that because we don't have our own currency. And until we start talking about our own by way of not just technology, but our own currency, because if we put finances on the table, let's not just talk about Plan A, because Plan A is just dealing with the enhancement of the oppressor's currency. Plan A is dealing with the enhancement of the oppressor's technology. Plan A is always the advancement of the oppressor's system. Plan B through Z deals with your creation, your policies, your mandates. So first we have to start talking. We have to use a different language when we're talking about creating.
Matt, respond, please. Can I respond?
Let me just make this point, brother, because I hear what you're saying, dear brother, when you say get into the technology and learn. But as the sister was saying, that you will never basically get their playing field. For example, I'm going to use this example. We often say we got rights here in America, and we need to protest these because it says this and this, and it is our constitutional right to do such and such. But we didn't make the Constitution. We're not legislators, because no sooner as we put a demand out and it seems as though we're getting the upper hand, what are they going to do? They're going to come out with a new piece of legislation because they are the lawmakers. We're not. Same with these banks, same with currency. Soon as we get to a point where they feel like, uh-oh, they're moving up, a new law is going to come out because they're the lawmakers. They're the policymakers. But power, as Brother Frederick Douglass said, power concedes nothing without a demand. But power also recognizes power. In order for us to really have true power, not only do we have to configure our economic gains in the belly of the beast, but we have to think outside the box and begin to go on a deeper level by way of which also put on the table international African African communications, so that while we're dealing with the financial situations of where we at, whether we in London, whether we in America, or wherever.
Can I just
get
30 seconds, sir?
We also building with our brothers and sisters in Africa to try to get ahead as well, so when they decide to shut it down, that won't bother us because we're doing what we're supposed to do on the other level.
Right.
Okay, may I respond? First of all, see, this is why when I'm me, and when I speak like I'm speaking to my children in front of my face. Anything that I say that I can tell my sons and my daughters if I have one day, everything that I say on this phone, I don't do that. Sir, when I'm saying that, you're telling me, I understand what you're saying, but I'm hearing stagnation. This is why I don't want to come off as black, no. I understand us in our black community, even white people know that us as black people, even if you say a black person, you must say it's a community of black people. We understand that we must get things together and increase something. I understand that. But when I'm hearing not that man stuff, if I write a Java script and put up a website, I didn't create that. A Caucasian may have. What I'm saying, and yes, you're right, there are some ways that you can make up your own programming language, but you have to use another language, a low-level language, which someone else created. Some of our African history comes from people that doesn't look like my skin color. See, even in trade, when you have a business, you're going to trade with other countries, other people. Africans, African-Americans, some Africans may trade with Asian, some all of that stuff. But countries are going to trade with each other. You can't stop it. That's mankind. And I say I keep things in this realm. So when I'm saying building something, we must start something first. Being more creative, look at what we're on now, Blog Talk Radio. Not 80% of the people on Blog Talk Radio of our color, why don't we have our own station? This is what I'm saying. He doesn't, this person, that's this guy that wrote Blog Talk, he didn't use all of his products that he has, doesn't come from his people. What I'm saying is we have to create and develop because we have spending power, just like BK say, entertainment. This is entertainment, sir. And I'm saying use what we got now to get that money, spend it together, and do what you want. But I wouldn't say their stuff or their stuff because all ethnic groups, all people are going to trade with each other, which is a connection. That's all I got to say.
That's common sense.
Can I say something?
And the common sense about it is I've never denied that. Remember, if you remember what I said, brother, one thing that I said was we are in the belly of the beast. And because we are in the belly of the beast, whether you are in London, whether you are in America, wherever we are as a people, we have to utilize what it is that we are using in their currency today to build. However, we should never stop there. We should always put on the table as well other means and mechanisms for when they decide to negate their currency. We would be okay because we could sit back and say, that's all right, let them take their money because we've been doing this as well. We've built the communications to do this as well. We've prepared ourselves for them to take away their currency. That's all I'm saying, brother. Never go into something and not have the complete package of planning. Your planning is on one level, which I agree. I never disagreed to that, brother, but I'm saying your planning is not complete. Your planning is not completed until you are able to move on that level that you're talking about, but also move into the second phase, which is when they decide to take that away from you. You have your own to stand on because you prepared for them to take that away from you. Because
they will take it away.
That
they will.
That's evident. It's like this, really. Brother Raquan broke it down eloquently. Look, white men overstand a kicking ass. They don't overstand no policies and treaties and writing this out in agreements. They wrote agreements out with the Indians and broke every damn agreement. They're mm-hmm. still the same today. Can't mm-hmm. vote them in or vote them out, or you can't negotiate with them. You got to put your foot in their ass. That's what you have to do. These other countries, they don't jump on Russia because they ain't jumped on Russia because they know Russia will put their foot in their ass. They backing away from China because China will put their foot in their ass. They know China ain't going to sit down and negotiate a goddamn thing with them. Hugo Chavez ain't finna negotiate. Wasn't finna negotiate with these crackers. Muammar Gaddafi wants to negotiate with these crackers. That's all they understand is a foot in the ass, maybe 2 feet, or a leg in the ass. That's what you got to do. We as black men have not done that. That's why they run everything when it comes down to us, because we ain't put our foot in the ass. That's just the bottom line. Now, we can talk about having Black Wall Street tomorrow. But I guarantee you this, with the way our sons and daughters are turning into homosexuals and lesbians, it ain't going to goddamn matter. Your money, your economics, and all that stuff right now, I don't even give a damn about none of that, to tell you the truth, because all that's going to be shipped anyway. We're going to have to be getting on some new stuff in a minute and learn some new damn shit, how to use bitcoins or whatever the hell else is cracking finna come up with, because this whole damn finance is about to collapse any damn way. So we need to talk about that. What we need to be talking about is these youth that's turning into flipping booties every day, turning into fags and lesbians, homosexuals. And I'm going to say this. If I had a business, wouldn't be no fags up in there. I don't want your fag ass up in my business. That's where I see it. I don't want no faggot up in here, so it ain't for everybody. Hell to the no. It's black owned, and that's what the hell I mean. If you ain't getting down with my program, I don't give a damn about you. Damn these crackers. These other individuals, they don't condone, or they don't bow down and kowtow to no Negro when we come up in their establishment. You come in there, you buy what you want, what they say you buy, whatever price, and you get the hell up out of there. That's where it goes.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
We got to do business like men. I don't do no business like no damn cracker. Damn them cracker. I don't trust shit they say. Not a damn thing. I got this foot for your ass. That's what I got. I don't like you. I don't like your woman. I don't like your kids. I don't like none of y'all ass. You ain't got to never come up here as far as I'm concerned. I don't need your ass.
But see, your mentality on that, the sad part about it is it's not even so much about the white people being scared of that. Black people are scared of that mentality. Who's going to hold it back? No, we don't do that. See, we have this mentality in our community that what white people do is so noble. Like you talked about business, how they handle business so properly, and they don't handle business properly. Like you said, they don't respect treaties and all that type of stuff. They do what they're going to do when they're going to do it. And they will make the rules and break the rules. But that's the whole thing. They make them so they can set forth what they want to set forth. The reality is, you know, and I understand the concept of us, you know, having our own businesses and things. That's very important. But, however, we've got so many other issues. We got some big things going on. And before, maybe however many years ago, we could have said, okay, well, if we get more businesses going, we can do this, we can do that. But these people have implanted so many things biologically in our music, in the whole entertainment industry. And see, that's what our culture is basically running on right now. We are running on entertainment, sports, music. That's what we're running on. I'm sorry, it's the reality of it. We have to be real. So if we're running on these things, these are not things we are in control of. We have no control whatsoever. So if we're running on this entertainment industry, our heads are completely in the wrong place. They are keeping us occupied with BS. They are turning us out like it's going out of style. And so all the businesses, like Brother Dollar said, all of that, I mean, it's great. But where we at now, we got to just get ready to wake people up. It's got to be kind of a revolutionary type of thing, because that's the only way. It's gone too far. It's gone too far now.
And it's at the end. And that's one of the things, Brother Don, for him when he brings that up, because I'm gonna be real with you. Each and every one of us should not only be disgusted with that, we should hate that. And unfortunately, like the sister said, you have people like, oh well, you know, let them choose. People got their own choice. People going to choose. If they want to be gay, let them be gay. If they want to be lesbians, let them be lesbians. What does that have to do with
you?
I'm going to tell you what it has to do with me, because that's the most detrimental aspect for our legacy as a people, because that helps in the genocide of our people.
They don't get that.
That's why. We don't get a death. Yeah, you have all the diseases you want with it, but the disease ain't only what we talking about. We're talking about the prime piece to that. which is genocide. You are helping in the genocide of our people. So anybody with that, hell no.
But see, I'm going to tell you just how they market this. This is just how they market it. What you just said about the genocide of our people, and that's what it's about. And like you said, people will say, well, let them be what they want to be, what they got to do with you, what they doing in their bedroom. Now, they don't market the results of homosexuality. And at the numbers that we have it in our community, and the fact that they want our numbers low, they want to keep us low or non-existent because they know that we will out-populate them when it comes to fertility and producing children. But see, these right now it's being marketed as being fun and exciting and, you know, well, girls, you can have a girlfriend and a boyfriend. And the same thing with the guys. Everything you look at. You know, I was just seeing something the other day, and I don't even watch TV, like in passing. And here it is, two women just sitting up there kissing and all of this stuff. And it was like regular TV during the day. I'm like, what is that? I mean, this is how it's marketed. And people now, because we're in a very hypersexual society, everything is about sex, everything. And see, what people don't realize is they're going to be doing the same things because they really want your kids. So they're changing all these rules when it comes to pedophilia. Exactly. They just try to make it into a sexual orientation. And so when you make it into a sexual orientation, then that is validating it, is justifying it, and then it's making it as if these people are, quote-unquote, like they try to say about the gay, born this way. Right. So then if you say somebody is born this way as a pedophile, then how could you criminalize them for messing with children? See, all of this stuff is going on. Supposedly, people were outraged about it. And APA, the American Psychological whatever Association, and then they came back out and said, well, what we mean by orientation is that they need to stay in treatment so that they won't offend.
And this is what we deal with. This is what we deal with. But
that's
we should always have a plan, and we should have people that deal with the, and this is the conversation we had yesterday. There has to be different segments coming from our people that deal with those matters. We need to have committees and departments that's going to deal with this homosexuality issue, that's going to deal with the little Waynes, you know, the skirt wearing. And what bothers me is now they can wear skirts, but now they try to match up them wearing skirts to African culture. Well, this was an African culture.
Yeah, right.
You know, and all this because they're trying to hypnotize, like the sister said, the youth. They're trying to get the youth. And now what do you see? Youth everywhere coming out. And I had a conversation yesterday with a brother, and we was talking about homosexuality. And I said, what bothers me is when I hear people say they act like women, I said, I don't know any women that act like fags.
I know I don't.
If you really think about it, I don't know no women that act like fags. That's a whole other, because the way they do it, I've never seen sisters act that way. I've never seen sisters talk. I've never seen sisters, you know, swerve their body the way that these fags swerve their body. Sisters don't even act like that. Women don't even act like that. That's not they're not imitating females. I don't know what the hell they imitate because I don't know no women that act like that. Even your conscious sister, who could be hood, don't act like that.
That's the thing, though. You know, because it is. This is how I explain it. You know, because I get so many messages, y'all, from these gay boys, black boys. It's just ridiculous. And they all tell me the same thing and over and over and over. But this is what they tell me is that I'm still a man. So what? I can love another man. I can I want to get married one day and have a husband and kids and blah, blah, blah. They tell me all of this kind of stuff. But my response is, when they say they're a man, in my opinion, no, you're not. And I say that because, I explain it to them just like this. When you are in a relationship with a man sexually and romantically, that is a female trait. That's a feminine trait, straight up, by nature. Again, that's how all of us got here on this earth. Most all of us was what? We had to come from a woman and man in some type of situation. Most of the time, you know, I guess somebody could have been a test too. I don't know. But anyway, still, it's a female trait. It's a female trait to be with a man sexually and romantically. If you are another man and you choose to do that with a man, then you are stepping outside of what your nature is. So if you are laying up with another man, how can you then still want to be considered a man? Well, you are perpetrating yourself as a woman by the behavior you're doing. So, no, I cannot consider you a man. A man does not have sex with other men. That's just not what happens. A man is not in a relationship with a man. But see, because so much brainwashing has been done, because they have desensitized these young people so much, now their whole thing is, well, I can determine what my own gender is. I can determine what is masculine and feminine. See, this is what they're telling these kids. So there's no boundaries anymore. So they're saying that they can be just as manly with a wig on or makeup on or with a blouse on and heels, right, with a husband or boyfriend and they a man. They can be, they want to be considered as a man, or this is still could be a man. This is masculine. So they are changing every definition. And it shows you, just look in the last, like, 5 years, 10 years, how fast all of this has happened. So it goes to show you, when they want to implement something, no matter what it is, it can take place just like that in the blink of an eye, because they can start putting it into the media, putting it into what you read, what you see, what you hear. And before you know it, you're like, wait a minute, what's going on? What? How did this happen? But it's been happening.
Right now, you're right. And I tell y'all what, y'all better look at one story. Pay attention to this one story and follow it. I don't know if y'all heard about this earlier, but Wu-Tang Clan had an incident with one of the members. Somehow, they say he ended up jumped out of a window after he cut his own penis off. He jumped out of the window.
What? Yeah, I'm reading that right now. I was trying to read some of that right now. I was shocked sitting here, man.
Okay, I didn't even know that. That's how the spirit works things out. But let me tell you this. My take on that is, them 5%, they don't like no fans.
Mm-hmm.
I think that they may have cut it off and thrown it down out the window. That's fag. That seemed like fag justice to me. That's what it seems. It's a fag or molester justice. That's real man shit right there. When you molest boys and girls, and when you are running around here as a grown-ass, flaming fag or some masculine fag, you need to be out of the community. We don't condone that shit. Under no circumstance, because you are a threat to everybody in the community. Let me tell you some of the reasons why they want young booty. Because they done screwed down to half the older booty. Come on now. It's a lot of cats out here flipping booty right now. They have a woman, but they got a man's face in their ass when they get home. Licking his balls and tossing his salad and picking the peanut hulls out of his ass, turds and shit, and picking the damn corn hulls out of nigga booty. That's what
you
think
those are doing today. Hold on, brother. I thought I was getting graphic when I explained it, because I go ahead and I just call them straight shit eaters. Goddamn.
Yes, indeed, brother. That's what it is.
Let me tell you from a single woman perspective, I am so frightened. I am frightened, okay, because any guy that tries to talk to me or deal with me, it's like I have to be, like, so sure of everything. I mean, I want to know everything. I mean, it's just like it's scary out here because, you know, these guys can perpetrate. And I dealt with somebody who I mean, now when I say deal with, I don't mean deal with. But, you know, somebody approached me that I knew when I was younger years ago, and come to find out he had messed around with a guy. He claimed however many years ago. He claimed it was a lie, but I found out that it was true, and I was like, oh, my gosh, praise the Lord. I never even held hands with him. But it's the fact of that, something like that, it scares me so much.